जयं शुपालपरमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान् अभयचरणारविन्द भक्त वेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय। उन्नति लीला प्रविष्ट शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्री श्रीमान् भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंद कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नामाचार्य श्रीहरिदास ठाकुर की एम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविंद श्याम राधा खंडगिरि गोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मदुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगमाई की यमुनामाई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की सामवेद भक्त నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహ గృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర వార్ణవాన్ శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి శ్రీగదోసి మయానాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ భవే భవే యదా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తదా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాదస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వబాధ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం శూన్యవాణి పాశ్చాత్య ఆదేశదారిణి ശ്രീമുഖൽ ഗുരുചരണ അരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേഹിനന്ദ്രജശ്രീണം പാലരേണുമഭീഷം യാസം ഹരികലോകീനം പുനാദിഗുണത്രയം ഗോപീചരണ അരവിന്ദ പരമാണവേ നമ പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദരീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമണിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാളേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കോമളം ഭൂതയം വേണം ശ്യാളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യവരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയദേവീ യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമ ശ്രീമലയാധികായ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ ബലീയാംശ്ചകർമാണി ശുക്ലാനി കൃഷ്ണാന്യത ലോഹിതാനി തേഭ്യ സവർണശ്രുതയോ ഭവന്തി അനീഹമാത്മാ മനസാ സമീഹതാം ഹിരൺമയോ മത്സകമുദ്ഭുജഷ്ടേ മനസ്വലിംഗം പരിഗൃഹ്യ കാമാഞ്ചുഷൻ നിബദ്ധോ ഗുണസംഗദോസോ ദാനം സ്വധർമ്മോ നിയമോ യമശ്ച ശ്രുതം ച കർമാണി ച സദ്വ്രതാനി സർവേ മനോ നിഗ്രഹലക്ഷണാന്താ പരോ ഹി യോഗോ മനസ സമാധി സമാഹിതം യസ്യ മന പ്രശാന്തം ദാനാദിഭിക്കിം വദ തസ്യ കൃത്യം അസംയതം യസ്യ മനോ വിനശ്യൽ ദാനാദിഭിശ്ചേദ ഭയം കിമേഭി മനോവശേന്യേ അഭവം സ്മ ദേവാ മനശ്ച നാന്യസ്യ വശം സമേതി ഭീഷ്മോ ഹി ദേവ സഹസ്രസഹേയന്വിഞ്ജ്വാദ്വശേതം സഹി ദേവദേവ തം ദുർജയം ശത്രുമസഹ്യ വേഗം അരുന്ദുതം തന്ന വിജിത്യേജിൽ കുറുവന്ത് അസദ്വിഗ്രഹ അസദ്വിഗ്രഹമത്രമർത്തിർമിത്രാണുദാസീന രിപോന്മിമൂഢാഃ ദേഹം മനോ മാത്രം ഇമം ഗൃഹീത്വാ മമാഹമിത്യന്ധനിയോ മനുഷ്യാഃ യേഷോഹം അന്യോഹം ഇതി ഭ്രമേണ ദുരന്തവാരേ തമസി ഭ്രമന്തി ജനസ്തു ഹേതു സുഖ ദുഃഖയോശ്ചൽക്കിമാത്മനസ്തത്ര ഭൗമയോസ്തൽ ജിഹ്വാം ക്വചിൽ സന്ദശതി സ്വതദ്ഭിസ്തദ്വേദനായനം കതമായ കുപ്യേൽ ദുഃഖസ്യ ഹേതു യദി ദേവദാസ്തു കിമാത്മനസ്തത്ര വികാരയോസ്തൽ യദംഗമംഗേന നിഹന്യതേ ക്വചിൽ ക്രുദ്ധ്യേത കസ്മൈ പുരുഷസ്വദേഹേ ആത്മാ യദി സ്യാൻ സുഖ ദുഃഖഹേതു കിമന്യതസ്തത്ര നിജസ്വഭാവാ ന ഹ്യാത്മനോ അന്യതതി തന്മൃഷാ സ്യാൽ ക്രുദ്ധ്യേത കസ്മാം ന സുഖം no dukham. So the Avanti Brahmana is saying to us, in the first verse he mentioned about that nayam janomi sukha dukha hetu na devadatma graha karma kalam. He said the janam, the people in the world, they are not responsible. Demigods, devadas, are not responsible. Atma is not responsible. Planets are not responsible, karmam is not responsible, and time is not, kalam is not responsible. He is one after the other. We have looked at that, and so far the Avanti Brahmana has said that how people are not responsible. We have discussed that. Then we have seen how the demigods are not responsible, and then we have come to this last verse where we discussed Atma yadisyal sukha dukha hedu kimanyadastatra nija svabhavam na atmano anyadiditam mrushasyal krudhyena kasmeda kasmat na sukham na dukham. So he mentions there that Atma also is not responsible. That is what we were talking about, isn't it? So because we have this sukham dukham, happiness and distress, is a opposing nature of Atma, opposing nature, because of Atma's nature is eternal blissful and knowledge, isn't it? So instead of the blissful nature we have Atma, they are saying that it is sukham and dukham is coming from Atma. Because Atma, their argument is, if Atma is favorable, then I should not experience happiness and distress. But if we think like that, we can say like this, Atma is by nature the very truth. Truth is Atma. Atma's very nature is truth. Because if Atma is creating happiness and distress, then it is Mrisham. It is a lie. It cannot happen. Reason being that everything, something has its own natural way, isn't it? Natural, like sugar has its natural nature of the sugar is sweetness. In a similar way, and any sometimes bitter fruits, their nature is the bitterness. Similarly, if Atma also is causing the distress, then it will come to the point that Atma's nature is also distress. But that is not true. That is not true. And it cannot be taken away from that. Because it becomes an intrinsic nature. That's what they call it. The intrinsic nature of sugar is sweetness. Similarly, if the intrinsic nature of Atma is distress, then it cannot be removed from the Atma anymore. That is not possible. So there is no point in trying for removing the unhappiness in this life. Because it's not going to go. It will always keep coming from the Atma. Because if this distress is an intrinsic nature of the Atma, even if you try, that means it is, even with your effort, it will not be able to take it out, because we are Atma and distress is a part of that. So from that viewpoint, it's saying here that it will not be possible to remove the distress from us. Then what is the point in trying for that? So not only that, separated from Atma, nothing else exists in this creation. So therefore, the cause of being one's own distress is Atma is not possible. Atma is not possible. Because if you say that something exists outside Atma, that is, he calls it as Mrishasyal, that is Mrisham. Mrisham means it is a lie. So, you cannot experience anything if you say that from a true object, if you get distress, that is also a lie. That's also a lie. True thing means there is only one true thing in this whole creation, that is Atma. And from Atma, if distress is coming, then that is also a lie. In reality, what Abrahmana is saying to us is that you can only see one thing, that the happiness in distress, the cause of the happiness and distress is only the mind. One can easily understand that. And because we do not control that mind properly, again and again, we have to keep on experiencing this happiness and distress. This is the conclusion of this Avanti Brahmana, or this Bhikshu. Bhikshu is saying to us like that. So that is what we were discussing yesterday. And we have seen there that the Atma, that Atma is the Sukham Dukham, that it cannot come from the soul. It cannot come from the soul. In Vedantam, there insists on this point that even if this, therefore, you cannot get angry with any external form, because it's also mithya. That's also mithya, because it's come from the Atma. And we will see here that na sukham na dukham. Kasmar kudhyeda, why get angry, he says. Nahi alpano anyadiyad mrushasyal, yan mrushasyal, kudhyeda kasmal na sukham na dukham. So, you can always get, you cannot get angry with any external factor, because it is mithya. It is also not the cause. So, so we have seen there, so we have looked at that yesterday also, that the Atma yadisyal sukadukha hedu. Now after that, we have seen Janam, that means the people, Devada, then Atma. Three things we have seen. Now
we have seen the Janam and we have seen the Devata, Alma. Now next one is Graham.
Graham means planets. People have this conception that planets are responsible for the happiness and distress, isn't it? So that is one that is being that's refuted here in the next verse. Let's look at that. Graha nimittam sukha dukha yoschel kim alpano jasya janasya devai grahe grahaseiva vadanti pidam krudhyeda kasmai purushastadunyaham. Graha nimittam sukha dukha yoschel kim alpano ajasya janasya devai grahe grahaseiva vadanti pidam krudhyeda kasmai purushastadunyaham.
Here, another important thing he is saying to us, who Bhikshu is saying,
Graha sugudukhayo nimittam ched ajasya almana kim.
He says here that if planets are responsible for our happiness and distress, because that is how astrology puts it to us, then if it is like that, Alma doesn't have birth or death, isn't it? Alma doesn't have birth or death. Therefore, what happened? When you write the horoscope, for whose horoscope are you writing, preparing? Whose horoscope is that?
The
body. Body's horoscope is what you are preparing, not Alma's horoscope. Is it not? So, with body's horoscope, you are looking at it and saying, I am suffering. But the point here is that everything we run to astrologers, people go to astrologers with this understanding that my time is bad. Whose time is bad? The body's time is bad. If you can, what is going to happen to Alma? What's going to happen to Alma? For Alma, which does not have a horoscope itself, it doesn't have a horoscope. And generally, when you go to the astrologer who prepares the horoscope, he will ask for the date of birth, is it not? You cannot otherwise, because without date of birth you cannot prepare a horoscope. So whose horoscope are you preparing? The body's horoscope, isn't it? And Krishna has spoken this in the Bhagavad Gita, na jayate na mriyate va kadachil nayam bhutva bhavido vanabhuyam ajaha nityah shashvatoyam purano.
After saying all that, but only problem what we have is, we don't accept Vedantam, we accept astrology. That's the problem. Because we don't accept the Vedanta conclusion. Vedic conclusion we don't accept. We'll accept the astrological conclusions. So it should, and only when the Bhikshu is saying to us, only if Vedantam become your truth, not astrology, only then you can escape from this mess. If you keep on, some people are there, they will take astrology very seriously and they will study Vedantam also. And they don't know that these two are opposing each other. Astrology is all based on the body, what the body is going to experience. And they will run after the astrologers and they will think that astrology is very important because they will say it's also Vedic. It is Vedic, we agree that. We don't deny that. It is Vedic. But at the same time, once you come to spiritual life and self-realization, then you got to forget about everything in relationship with the body. There is, Vedantam is saying to us that we are properly, Bhikshu is saying here, if you are accepting this understanding, then you are properly using Vedantam in your life. Bhikshu is using Vedantam here. He is not using astrology. He is saying to us, that people, in the last chapter, in the early verses, he mentions there, you can see, from 33 to 38, what did he say there? He says that, how people have treated him in this world, and he is not saying anything to them. But that is what it means. That means he is living based on Vedantam.
is not living based on astrology. Therefore he says, I am Ajaha, I am Brahman. Why should I get disturbed over this? That is this Bhikshu's advice to us. He said, you should live in this world according to the Vedic conclusions, based on the Vedantam, not based on the astrology. So there are these, all these horoscopes are for him. He says here, all of them belong to the body. See that in the verse also. He says that, all this horoscope, graha nimittam sukha dukkhayoshche kim almano ajasya janasya devai. Then, grahair grahasyaiva vadandi pidam. Graham grahai grahasyaiva pidam vadandi. Grahai grahasyaiva pidam vadandi. It means that these planets are in the sky. They cannot come and cause problem for you here. They cannot do that. Krudhyedakasmai purushastado inyam. Then therefore, because in the Purusha, who is situated in the house or in the Alma, cannot be touched by the planets. That is what he is saying here. Only body has the astrological impact, only on the body. And whatever you do, you can never find a total remedy for that, as far as the body is concerned. A perfect solution is not there for the body in the Shastram. Shastram is warning us, there is no perfect solution as far as the body is concerned. It sometimes will give you trouble, sometimes it may give you some happiness, but it is never perfect. No perfection is possible in the body. So, therefore, to get out of the problems, you may go and do, because astrologers will suggest various remedies, isn't it? They give you various things what you have to do. But the fact that pain will compensate another pain, that whatever you may do, that's also painful, some solutions, but that is not the solution to the main problem even. So, Krishna is saying here, Janasya Devai Grahar Grahasyaiva Vadandi Pidam. The planets cannot affect you. All planets are in the sky, and they are going only after each other. Planets have some relationship between them. They have no relationship with us in reality. One planet in stay will affect will affect in another. Planets have mutually, there is relationship. What we call as the attraction between the planets and all. In the astrology also, they recognize that. Then in different positions of the planets, they call it as aspersion. Aspersion they call it. That means aspersion of, say, Jupiter to Saturn, Saturn to Mars. This way they have a relationship between the planets. And you do not have any one of them, because even according to astrology, also one planet looks at the other. That will affect, aggravated and neutralized, etc. They keep saying all these things, that because three or four planets involved, one neutralizes the position of the other. If you ask the astrologers, they will tell you all these kind of things. That is what he is saying. That is why it is mentioned like that. Graher grahasyaiva vadandi pidam. Graher grahasyaiva vadandi pidam. That they can mutually, they can cause problems between the planets. When the relationships are not good, they have some relationship on this planet also. That is what we experience sometimes as calamities. These astrologers can say these things. In their calculations, they take into account all that. Among the planets, there is some relationship between them, and Earth planet also has a relationship with other planets. So what they are saying to us is that based on this relationship between the planets, it will have its effect on planets only. It cannot have any effect on us, based on that. That is what they are saying. Graher grahasyaiva vadandi pidam. They can give trouble to each other. Vadandi purusha kasmai gudhyana kasmai purushasya veda purushastadonya. Why we should get, Purusha, Atma, should get upset over that? I am Atma different from all planets, and Atma is Atma, and Atma, all planets, and from the Mithya Prabhancham. Mithya Prabhancham means this false world, we are different from that. So that is that verse of the planets. Now the next one, Karma. Karmastu hedu suga dukha yoschel kimalpana sati jada jadatve dehastvajil purushoyam suparna krudhyada gasmai nahi karma moolam. Karmastu hedu suga dukha yoschel kimalpana sati jada jadatve dehastvajil purushoyam suparna krudhyada gasmai nahi karma moolam. In that karma moolam, if you say that, like in the last verse about the planets we spoke, that if you say planets like the sun, the moon, the Mars, the Jupiter, Mercury, they are all the planets in the astrological calculations. So if you if you say that planets have got the capacity to do troubles, create trouble for us, mutually they interact, but they don't have the, they cannot have any influence on us. And planets which are in the sky and we are at home in our house, isn't it? What relationship have we got to each other? Because all those planets also are staying in the orbit, staying in the sky due to what? Due to presence of Atma. Atma is present in them. In each planet, Atma is present there. And it is the same Atma who is present in us also, who is present in us also. And it is due to the Atma, our senses are functioning. So, in reality, we and the planets, there is no difference. It's only the form of body what we have is different than the body what the planets have got. So, and in a proper analysis, that there is no relationship on a bodily level between us and the planets on a bodily platform. As far as Atma is concerned, Atma is present in us, Atma is present in the planets also. So, in either way, whether from the Atma level or from the bodily level, Atma, this relationship is false. There is no influence at all. Therefore, that is not acceptable. In this verse, Karmastu Hedu, he is saying here, suppose you say that it is your karma from previous life that is causing this problem. We will say, what can we do? We have to accept it, isn't it? Now, we haven't got any definite information where we were born and what karma we have performed in our previous life, isn't it? Because if you say that karma is the cause of our distress, it is not completely correct. It's not completely correct. Reason is, karma is jadam. Karma is jadam. Jadam, and I am Chaitanyam. I am living force, Atma, spirit, consciousness I am. Karma means action, isn't it? And karma itself is dead thing. It doesn't have a life of its own. I give the life to karma and then karma begins, is it not? So, jada vastu, in the words you can see, they have used the word jada jadatve, that word. Jada jadatve. Jada vastu, that means dead matter, cannot influence Chaitanya, living force. Cannot influence, that is not possible. Here, Atma is not experiencing the distress. Who is experiencing the distress? Jiva is experiencing the distress, isn't it? But Jiva is also living force. It is spirit. Chaitanyam it is. And due to the presence of Jiva only, karma gets done. Karma happens because of the presence of Jiva. And suppose we have a lot of karma has been done in previous lifetime or in, even in this life. If it comes to the point which is jadam, that karma is jadam, if it is coming and causing distress to a living force called jiva, then then if it happens like that is also not acceptable, because That means that Jadam and Chaitanyam are non-different. It will come like that, becomes like that, isn't it? But there is a definite difference between Chaitanyam and Jadam. What is that difference? Is this, that what the qualities of Chaitanyam, Chaitanyam means living force, qualities of Chaitanyam cannot exist in the Jadam. That is why the difference is, one is Sat, one is Asat. Chaitanyam is Sat, Karmam is Jadam, Asat. So if you say that Sat is coming and affecting the Asat, or Asat is coming and affecting the Sat, isn't it? Karmam is coming and affecting the Chaitanyam. That means that Sat's quality is not true then. Sat's quality is not true. Because that means there is no difference between Sat and Asat. That's what it comes to. Therefore, that is not correct. But not due to the planets we are suffering, not due to the karma we are suffering, but and Atma's real nature is also not to experience distress. Then what is the reason why we are suffering? That is why he is saying here that the mind is responsible for that, nothing else. Because we have not controlled the mind, never brought it under control, therefore happiness, distress, birth, death, old age and things like that, we continuously experience that. And all these are due to the presence of the mind. And a person whose mind has come under control, for him this distress doesn't exist. Because you can see the effects of karmam, if you take it, that karmam is responsible. As soon as you go into the deep sleep state, there is no distress. So that means karmam is not able to touch you there. Even the prarabdham, whatever we may call it, that when you go to the deep sleep state, it is not causing any problem. Therefore, sukha dukkham, happiness and distress, you are not experiencing. Only when the mind comes up in the morning, when the mind starts functioning, that is when happiness and distress also begins. But when the mind goes and dissolves in the deep sleep, there the distress also comes to an end. So therefore, he is saying the mind is responsible for that. And just like when there is sunshine, there is heat from the sunshine, isn't it? Once the sunshine goes away, the heat also goes away. In other words, the cause of the heat is that sunshine. Similarly, when the mind comes up, we experience the distress. Or when the mind expands, distress comes. And the mind contracts, at that time, the distress also goes away from us. So, in a similar way, he is saying here that karmam is not responsible. We'll look at that little bit more. Karmastu hedu sukadukha yoschel. Karmam. Karmam is the fifth factor, isn't it? Janam, then Devada, Alma, Graham, Karma. Karma is the fifth one, what he is talking about. So, Bhikshu is saying here, Bhikshu is repeating this, that he says don't get angry with the karma also. Because he wants to reinforce this idea that karmastu hedu sukha dukha yoschel kim alpanastati jada jadatve. He says there. Suppose you say that it is your prarabdham that you are suffering here. Then what? Almanaha kim? He is asking there. Almanaha kim? Because who has the karmam? All karmam belongs to ahangaram. Belongs to ahangaram. False ego. Belongs to false ego. Here you can see he has used a word jada jadatve. See that word? Jada jadatve. Jada jadatve. Ahangaram is the ego. Ahangaram is the ego, which is, what is ahangaram means? It is a peculiar mixture formed by the combination of Atma and Anatma. If you ask the question, what is false ego? He said, no, people ask this question. We say false ego. What is false ego? False ego is a combination of Atma and Anatma. It's not a pure thing. Ahangaram is not a pure thing. It's a combination of two things. That means the self, Atma, and the non-self, Analma, it has mixed together, and from there came this Ahankaram. From this came this Ahankaram. That is the reason Ahankaram is called that word Jada Jadatve. Jada Jadatve it is called. It's a technical word. This Jada Jadatve is a technical word. Because it says here, Ahankaram is a mysterious thing. If you ask anybody, does it really exist? It has no real existence. In the when you inquire about the self, self-inquiry, when you do self-inquiry, every time this aham vritti comes from the ahankaram, which comes from the heart, if you ask the question, who has the ahankaram, it disappears. It disappears, isn't it? It goes and dissolves itself from where it was born. Normally you can ask, this is the process of the self-inquiry. This is how it is done. So, Bhikshu says here, karmam, all karmam belongs to this ahankaram, belongs to this ahankaram. Jadad bhavat, I am different from the ahankaram, I am not different, I am different from the ahankaram. When you do the self-inquiry, you can see that your real self, particularly in the deep sleep state, this ahankaram disappears. Everything that disappears in the waking state and in the dream state is not real. When you move into the deep sleep state, ahankaram is not there, false ego is gone. So therefore it is not real. Therefore it's not real. It is not even real in the three states. It's only real in the two states, in the waking state and in the dream state. So Vedantam is saying to us, because this doesn't go into the deep sleep, this ahankaram is also a false one. Ahankaram is all. And karmam is all, karma phalam is always attributed to ahankaram. Attributed to the ahankaram. And I am not affected by any karmam in the deep sleep state. In the karmasya hedu sukadukha yoschel. Kim almanastati stadhi jada jadatve. He says here. That our mind alone is the cause of all the problems. Manayeva manushyanam karanam bandhamokshayoho. Krishna also says that. So, whether it's bondage or liberation, our own mind alone is the cause. We can never blame the world for any of these problems. So, trying to change the world or the setup is neither possible nor will it be successful. So, Krishna is saying here, Bhikshu says that generally people blame these six factors for the problems. When you make an inquiry, you will know that all these six factors are not the cause. So, and is ruling out one by one. Here that's what he is doing. Out of the six ones, he has ruled out five of them in this way. So, Janam, Devada, Alma, Graha, Karmam, Kalam. Bhikshu has refuted one by one in these verses. So, in this verse, Bhikshu says, the fifth factor, karma, in this one. Generally, we think that Prarabdha Karmam is the cause of Sukham Dukham. Because Jnanis also, you can see this, that in the liberated state, Jnanis also live in this world, but they don't complain about Prarabdham. They don't complain about Prarabdham. From that you can understand, where is the Prarabdham? Prarabdham is in the Ahankaram. Is the Ahankaram. It is only in the subtle body, it's not touching the Atma. Is it not? Prarabdham is also in the subtle body. It's not touching the Atma. Because Jnanis don't complain about Prarabdham. We complain about Prarabdham. In our present state, we complain about Prarabdham. Prarabdham is, and it is true, Prarabdham is responsible. But Prarabdham can only go up to the extent of the subtle body. It can only affect your mind and the false ego. It cannot touch Atma. That is the question. What is the proof? Proof is that Jnani. Jnani is the proof. Jnanis don't complain about Prarabdham like we do. We complain, Prarabdham is true. It's not that Prarabdham is not true. Karmam is true, karma phalam is true, Prarabdham is true. But how far Prarabdham can disturb you as long as you have false ego and the mind? That's where Prarabdham affects, is it not? So, because Jnanis do not complain about Prarabdham, it is a factor that Prarabdham also is not responsible for the the problem for the Atma. He also not a problem for the Atma. That is what he is saying here. Karmastu hedu sukha dukha yos chel kim alpanam buddhi jada jadatvem kim alpana buddhi jada jadatvem and kim alpana buddhi jada jadatvem. He says there that this jada jadatvam nature kim alpana buddhi jada jadatvem then Dehastrajal Purushoyam Subarnaham Krudyeda Kasmai Nahi Karma Moolam. Therefore, karma is not the cause. Sukundukkayoho Karma Hedu Vastu. Let us assume that karma is the cause. Let's assume karma is the cause. Because of that, what happens to Atma? Because karma can affect only the karta, one who is doing it. That's the reason. Who is doing it? Ahangaram. Is it not? Ahangara vimudhalma kartaham idhi manyade. So, karmam and its bhalam, karma means karma bhalam, can only affect the karta, doer, isn't it? Because there is a doer, there is an enjoyer. If there is no doer, there is no enjoyer. And who is the doer? Ahangara, false ego. So that is how he is talking about. Yadha karta bhavadi saha eva bhokta bhavadi, Upanishads. If you become a karta, then you become a bhokta. So therefore, Atma, the real I, is not the karta nor the bhokta. Atma is not doing anything. So why worry about it? Why worry about it? You are the Atma. So the next question is, karma will affect the karta. Then who exactly is the karta? Who exactly is the karta? Because doer or action. Here, Bhikshu is saying to us that when you enter into the karta, karta is also a mysterious thing. Because karta, as far as Bhagavad Gita is concerned, is a false thing. Who is the karta? Karta actually is the modes of nature. Is it not? Modes of nature forces us to do things. And falsely, we identify and say we are the doer. Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangaram vimudhalma. Because of that false ego inside, in foolishly, kartaham irimanyade. I am the doer comes. So, if this is understood, then you can see there that ahangaram is the doer and ahangaram is the one who has to bear the consequences of karma. Is it not? Ahangaram is the one which has to bear the after effects of karma. Karma bhalam is for the ahangaram. It's not for the self. It's not for the self. That is the point which is making to us. That's the point which is making to us. That you can never logically prove the existence of karta. Logically you can't prove that. Because ahangaram is a false thing. It's a false thing. Due to the combination of the spirit and the body, which is matter, ahangaram has developed. Only because of this, ahangaram has developed. That's why it's called false ego. False ego is due to the combination of spirit and the matter. That means combination of alma, which is the spirit, and the body, which is the matter. When they come together, from that takes birth this mysterious thing called ahangaram. Otherwise, ahangaram has no existence. On its own, it has no existence. Only when the spirit and the matter combine together, from there ahangaram comes up. So that's the point he is making here. Karma is only possible when there is a karta. When there is a karta, only then karma is possible, isn't it? Because karta does the karma. Without karta, karma cannot happen. So that is why jada jadatve refers to that jada jadatve word that refers to karta in this word. So, how karta is called jada jadati? Only when can prove a karta exists, karma can be proven. So, first you have to accept that unreal thing, jada jadatvam, unreal thing called ahangaram. Only after that, you can accept a karma. After that. Because without ahangaram, karma cannot happen. Ahangaram is the one who is doing all the karma in this world. Is it not? Prakrite kriyamanani, that is what that verse is. Bhagavad Gita verse, Prakrite kriyamanani gunai karmani sarvasha ahangara vimudhalma kartaham idhi manyade. Because of ahankaram, birth of ahankaram inside us, due to the combination of the matter and the spirit, from which ahankaram was born, ahankaram takes responsibility, saying that I am the doer, and the result, I am the enjoyer. The result of the after effects also. So, to understand, you have to know the fundamentals of Vedantam, to know this. He says here, in the according to Vedantam, the whole creation is divided into two. Vedantam says to us that the creation is divided into two. One is the Chetana, which is Atma, and the other one is Achetana, which is Anatma. Atma and Atma, same thing. Atma and Atma principle, that again has to take into account. One is sentient, Atma is sentient, which is pure spirit or consciousness. And Anatma is matter, dead matter, insentient matter. Consciousness and matter is what Krishna is discussing all the time in Bhagavad Gita, is it not? Consciousness and matter. In English, if you put it, consciousness and matter. And if you look into the 7th chapter, Krishna is saying Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. Paraprakriti is consciousness. Aparaprakriti is matter. Aparaprakriti is matter. And Krishna calls it as Purusha and Prakriti. Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. In the 13th chapter, Krishna calls the same thing as Kshetram and Kshetrajnan. Isn't it? Kshetram and Kshetrajnan. Another place Krishna calls it as Kshara-purusha and Akshara-purusha. So you can see these two topics separately discussed all the time. Which one? Consciousness and matter. Consciousness and matter. Because they are two different. There is no third entity. There's only these two entities here. So logically seeing, consciousness cannot be the doer of anything, cannot be the doer of any action, because consciousness by nature is changeless. It doesn't change and motionless. It cannot move also. Consciousness is everywhere. It doesn't move. It's always everywhere in everything consciousness is present. Remember that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions this. Nityaha sarvagadaha sthano achalaha sanadhanaha. Remember that verse? Nityam sarvagadasthano ajaloyam sanadhana. If you analyze that verse, it will talk about the glory of the self, glory of Atma. What is that? Nityaha, it's eternal. Sarvagadaha, it's everywhere. Sthanu. Sthanu means it cannot move. It's like that. It doesn't have to move. Matter only can move. Soul cannot move. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? Soul, Atma or consciousness cannot move. Consciousness is just present everywhere. Nityaha, that is that word. Verse, if you look into Bhagavad Gita, you will see. Which one? Nityam sarvagadasthanu achaloyo sanatana. Without the background of Bhagavad Gita, these verses won't make much sense. Because, what's the number?
24.
Yeah. Achedyoyam adahyoyam akledyo shushyam evacham nitya sarvagatasthanu achaloyam sanatana. Krishna is saying the nature of soul. Soul is like that, Krishna says. You cannot cut it. Achedyoyam. You cannot break it. That's why we keep saying soul is one. There is not so many souls floating around everywhere. That concept is wrong. Soul is not, I have one soul. We will say, as Jiva you can say this, because that aspect of soul which is reflected in the Andhakaranam, in the Chittam, that is called a Jiva. So it's only a reflection, that is what we call as Jiva. That can float around, because it is contaminated already, it's a reflection of the Atma. But Atma on its own is unbreakable. It's mentioned there, isn't it? Achedyoyam. What else? Adahyoyam. You cannot burn Atma. And akledyam. You cannot dilute it. Ashoshyam. Cannot dry it. And what else? Nityaha. It's always permanent. It will never die. Because it is sat. It is sat. Nityaha. Sarvagadaham. All pervading. It's present everywhere. There's no place where soul is not present. So therefore it cannot move. If something is present everywhere, how can it move? Where is the space to move? Sarvagada.
Sarvagada. And therefore, Sthanu.
Sthanu means one who sits like this, without any movement. Lord Shiva is called Sthanunathan, because he can sit in that state forever. Sthanunath. He is addressed as Sthanunathan. So, Nityam Sarvagata Sthanu. Sthanu means one who has no movement. One who has no movement.
Sthanu. Sarvagata Sthanu. Achalaha.
Immovable. You can't move him because there's no space. Where can you move him? You can't move him anywhere. Immovable.
Achaloyam Sanatana.
Eternally he remains. So, Achadyoyam Adashyoyam Akledyo Shoshyam Evaja. Nityam Sarvagata Sthanu. Achaloyam Sanatana.
If it is like that,
Achaloyam Sanatana is saying here, Bhikshu is saying here, consciousness like we can see here, is non-moving, like the space. Space is non-moving and changeless. Consciousness cannot do anything, just like space cannot do anything, isn't it? Any action. So consciousness cannot be the karta. Consciousness cannot be karta. So Atma is not karta. Nirvigatva, this can matter. This can matter be karta and bhokta. So matter can be karta and bhokta. Matter can move and undergo change. That's the nature of matter. Jada jadatve, he says there. So if you say matter is the karta, Vedanta says matter on its own is not karta. That's also not possible. Because matter happens to be insentient. It's not sentient. So matter also cannot do it on its own, jadam by nature. What is insentient cannot do a deliberate, thoughtful or planned action. It cannot do that or accomplish a result. Matter on its own cannot do it. So you can see from this verse that soul on its own cannot do it. Matter on its own cannot do it. Only when the soul and the matter come together, this karta, bhokta, karmam, everything happens. Otherwise not. This has to be very, very clear in our mind. That soul on its own cannot do it, matter on its own cannot do it, but when the soul and the matter, the spirit and the matter comes together, that's when karmam comes, karta comes, and the result comes. And the result comes. So matter cannot be called karta, because the word karta can be used only for one who thinks, who can decide, who can take decisions, and as a result perform some action. Therefore, a sentient entity only can be a karta. Matter being insentient, it cannot be a karta. That is why he says that that the jada jadatva, that word. This verse actually is there in the book called Sadarshanam. In the Maharshi mentions this very expertly, he puts it very nicely in the 27th verse there. He says there that
Rūpobhavo rūpavada padatpati pratishto rūpāshane dhūtagrihīta rūpa svayam virūpa suvicārakāle dāvatyahaṅkāra viśācamesha.
He is saying in this Sadarshanam, 40 verses where he compiled, he is saying there,
Rūpobhavo rūpavada pratishto.
When does the birth of false ego? How does false ego takes birth in a person?
That rūpāshano dhūtagrihīta rūpāham svayam virūpa suvicārakāle dāvatyahaṅkāra piśācamesham.
He is born, is on itself it is formless, ātmā, on its own it is formless. But when we take a form, a body, in other words, when we take a body, that he comes. Atma on his own is formless. But when he takes a body, he comes. Who? Ahangara. False ego comes.
Davati ahangara pishacha mesha.
That, and as long as you keep on changing your form, the forms what you accept, if you keep on changing that, and he changes his position. But as long as you break away from the form, any form, any different forms we have, isn't it? Different bodies what you have accepted, immediately it disappears. As soon as you break away from the form. Only when you accept a form, false ego also takes birth.
Only false ego also takes birth. So, Krishna talks about this. Atma is akarta, anatma is karta. And spirit is akarta, matter is karta. Akarta, matter is akarta. In that 13th chapter we talked about that. Where Krishna mentions there, Atma on its own, Prakriti Purusha Viveka Yoga. Remember? In there, that's where we saw this. Atma, soul is akarta, body is also akarta. Matter. Matter is also akarta. Spirit is akarta and the matter is akarta. So therefore, in reality, there is no karta. If you take them independently, there is no third entity other than Atma and Anatma. In the Kshetra Kshetrajna Vibhaga Yoga, that one when we have discussed. And Tadvidhi Bharadara Shavam. It says here that everything is either matter or consciousness. Logically, therefore, there cannot be a karta. Krishna's argument is like that. If you say that you are only spirit, then there cannot be any karta. If you say you are only matter, there cannot be any karta. There cannot be any karta. Only when the spirit and the matter come together, karta takes birth. That is how false he is, this ahangaram. Ahangaram is such a false thing. And so if there is no karta at all, there cannot be any karmam. Karmam comes from karta. So if there is no real karta, then where is karmam then? Karmam also has no existence. If there is no karmam, then there cannot be a result of karmam also. There cannot be a karmic result also. So if there is no karmic results, then there is no this sanchita karmam, agama karmam, prarabdha karmam and all this. They don't exist either. So when we refute karmam, we have to be careful about it. We shouldn't simply say that, oh, because I am a devotee, I don't have a karmam. You can't say that. Karmam is there. As long as you have false ego, you have karmam. If the false ego has gone, there is no karmam. That is the way to put it. Otherwise what happens is, misunderstanding comes. We keep saying to people, we are devotees, we don't have karma. That's not true. The fact is this, as long as you have false ego, you have karma. And the false ego is completely gone, then there is no karma. Because false ego is the karta. And if false ego is the karta, it is his karma. And if he has got karma, and the result also is coming from that karma. Is it not? Karma can come from only karta. And results can come only from karma. So all those exist as long as there is false ego. Sometimes we wrongly understand these things. We don't think like that. We understand. But you have to put it in the logical way. Otherwise, how do we tell people that just because I got initiated, I don't have any karma? How can I say this to anybody? I'm still getting sick. I'm getting problems. Everybody is getting problems. Like anybody is getting problems. So how can you say that I don't have karma? Because I know it is a result of prarabdham that is coming in the body in different forms. Is it not? Prarabdham comes to me in a different form. I get sick, I get old, I get diseased, and I will die. So all these things are based on karmam only. There is no question about that. You can't deny that. But the fact is that what Krishna is explaining this, and Brahmana is also saying to us, this Savandi Brahmana is saying to us that understand where this karma is coming from, first of all. Karma means there must be a doer, karta, must be there. And who is that karta? When these two things come together, the body and the spirit, Atma and the body come together, from that, the combination of these two, a mysterious entity comes up, which is called Jiva, Ahangaram, false ego. He comes up and he is the one who is doing this karma. He is the karta, he does the karma, he gets the result and he suffers. So, till this mysterious entity called Ahangaram doesn't take birth in us, or till he completely disappears from inside, we can still exist together without his presence. That is realized state, jnani state. For him, jnanis have no karma, or realized souls in other words. Realized souls don't have karma. Others, everybody has karma. Everyone else has got karma in this world. That's the point. That's what we have spoken about, that everything which cannot be this cannot be proved logically or experiments or anything. It is not possible to prove that. Vedantam analyzes these things in this mysterious karta is created, mystical, illogical and inexplicable. You can't explain these things logically, or therefore in the Saddarshanam, that 40 verses, Ravana Maharshi puts it like this. He said he is a pishacha, he's a devil who takes birth when they come together. Who? Ahangaram. Ahangaram takes birth in that way. Remember this example that he himself gave, this example that a marriage is going on somewhere. So there is people from the bridegroom's people were there, and the bride's people were there. They were both present there. And someone walked in, a great trash, into that. And everybody started thinking, the bride party thought that, oh, he must be from the grooms, because they don't know each other, isn't it? Everybody don't know. Bride's group invites her friends and her family members and her relatives as guests. The groom invites his family members and friends as guests for the marriage. But mutually they don't know. Bride's party don't know all the members of the groom's party. The groom's party doesn't know all the members of the bride's party. So somebody got in there. He knew this problem will be there. So they were all looking at him. The bride's party thought that he is a member of the groom's party. The groom's party thought that he must be coming from the bride's side. So nobody said anything to him. So he had a big feast and he left after that. Similarly, this is what Ahangaram does to us. He comes and he enjoys himself using us, and then he goes, gay crushed. He has done. He has come like that, isn't it? You can see from this that karmam is like that. Karmam is like that. And somebody asked him, who are you? He said, I'll come in a minute. He said, and he left. So that's the way it is. So it doesn't belong to a bride's group or bridegroom's group. Neither it belongs to the Prakriti or to the Purusha in either way. So Atma and Anatma is together, and in the proximity this mysterious thing called Ahangaram is generated. Ahangaram is generated. And in fact, like when you face the mirror and mirror come together in proximity, a third entity is created. When the face and mirror comes in close to each other, that you feel that mirror comes and you are looking at the mirror, and the reflection is created in the mirror. A third entity is created in the mirror. And that is why it is compared to this reflection. It's called bhanam. Bhanam is the word in the Vedanta. That in the chittam, in the ajnada, ajnanam, the reflection of atma in the ajnanam is jiva or ahangaram. Jiva or ahangaram. So many things about that from the mirror. therefore, it does not have an existence on its own. Existence of its own. Because it's a reflection. That's why. Because it's a reflection. There's not exist. So how do you prove that? Because reflection can exist only when the face and the mirror are in proximity. Similarly, when the jiva can only exist only when the spirit consciousness and the body matter is there. Once the body, that is why jiva is not a permanent, it cannot be a permanent existence. It has to go. It will only take birth when it takes a body. Only when it takes a body. This is from the Vedantam point of view. It is like that. So, suppose if you just like I'm looking at the mirror. Because I'm there, the mirror is there, the reflection is there. Is it not? Suppose if I go away, then there is no reflection.
If the mirror goes away, then there is no reflection. Similarly, if the Alpa is there and the body is there, in that case Jiva is there. But if Alpa goes away, Jiva is not there. If body goes away, Jiva is not there. Jiva is dead. So, in the same way. So, so that is why it has got a borrowed existence. It's a mithya, mystery, magical entity, as they call it. So, we cannot logically prove it. We cannot logically prove it. Like a magician entering his... sometimes magicians do various kinds of things. And similar way, it's not a true thing, but for someone who is observing that, he finds it as real. He finds it as real. So, so let's look at that verse. Karmastu hedu sukha dukha yoschel kimalpanastadhi jada jadatvem krudhyeda dehasvajil purushoyam suparnaham krudhyeda kasmai purushasya vedaham krudhyeda kasmai purushasya veda. He says here, sukha dukha yo hetuho karma astu chet tadhavi akarmanaha almanaha tena kim. If you say this, that the cause of this happiness and distress is karma, Alpa doesn't have any karma bandham. Isn't it? Bandhanam. There is no bondage for the Alpa. Then, if you say that karma itself is not happening, Almana jadajadatve eva tal sambhavadi. Because Alpa on its own, present in there, only then the karma will happen. Otherwise karma won't happen. Alma's presence is necessary. But Alma is not the doer. Alma is not the doer. Alma's presence is necessary. You won't get a much more better explanation of this except in Vedantam anywhere else. This explanation of Jiva, Alma, and an Alma, Jada Jadatvam. Bhagavad Gita is the best way to explain that. That's the way to look at it. So, if you say that, Dehastajil ayam purusha tu suparna cha bhavadi. Deham or shariram or body is jadam, always jadam, isn't it? And Alma by nature is full of knowledge and consciousness. We say that, isn't it? Atma is always eternal, blissful, full of knowledge. Jnana Swarup. Knowledge is its form. Form itself is knowledge, its identity. Whereas matter is always dead. Dead it is, isn't it? Dead means, so when they are separate, karmam cannot happen. Karmam cannot happen. So he says here, because it is like that, kasmai krudhyeda, he is asking. Krudhyeda kasmai nahi karma mulam. Why are you getting angry? He is asking. Why are you getting angry when it is like that? So, therefore again, our Bhikshu or Avanti Brahmana is saying to us that once you are in the realized state, these things cannot happen. All this is happening due to the mind only. Nothing else. Only due to the mind. Nothing else is responsible for the distress, he is saying here. Then, next one is Kalam. After Karma. The last one is Kalam. So, out of the six ones we have seen now, Janam, Devada, Alma, Graham, Karma. Five things we have seen. And the last one is the Kalam. Time. Kalastu hedum sukha dukhayoschel kimalpanastatra tada almagosavum na agner na dhabo na himasya tatsyan krutyeda kasmaina parasya dvandvam. Kalastu hedu sukha dukhayoschel kimalpanastatra tada almagosavum Nagnirnatabau nahimasya tatsyal krudyeda kasmaina parasya dvandvam.
He says, kalam sugadukhayo hedushchel tatra almana kim.
If kalam or time is responsible, if you say like that, even then, what has it got to do with Atma? He is asking that question. Because asau tadalmaga bhavadi, Atma is not different from time. Atma is not different from time. That's a very difficult thing, see, to understand that. How Atma is same as time. So, because he says here, both are, if you remember, this was discussed in the 10th canto. Remember? Yeah. When Parikshit Maharaj asked that question, what was that verse?
10:5-7.
Say that again.
10:5-7.
10:1-7. That is where that question was answered. Parikshit asked that question. Viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam andam bahi purushakala rupaihi prayachado mrityumadamradam cha maya manushyasya vadasa vidvan. That verse. He mentioned there that Viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam, present in the form of time, inside as outside. It is from that verse we can understand that Atma and time are non-different. Very difficult thing, isn't it? What is Atma and what is time? For us, time means watch, clock, and the needles moving, or sunlight, dark, all this way we relate with the time. But Shukra Brahmarshi is saying to us, Viryani tasya akhila deha bhajam andarbahi purusha kala rupaihi. Inside as Atma, outside as kalam, time. So kalam is what? Kalam is that thing which is changing everything, is it not? It's due to the effect of time that everything is changing in this world, which is also due to the presence of Atma inside. So this Atma inside, outside it, we call it as kalam. Outside we call it as time or kalam. Kalam. But he is the same one inside who is present as Atma. Atma and time, or time is not exactly the right word for that. Because time is, when we say time, we will only immediately, our mind will go in that direction towards the clock. If time is running out, we say. Time never runs out. Time is eternal, isn't it? Time is eternal. Time doesn't run out. So, andarbahi purusha kala rupai. Kala rupam is outside. And because of the prayachado mrityumada amrudam cha maya manishasya vyadasa vidvan. If you devote your attention towards Atma, amrudam, immortality comes. If you give your attention to kalam, kalam is not different from Atma. Kalam is not different from Atma. But this effect of kalam in the creation is that it destroys everything in course of time. That's why it's saying there, prayachado mrityu mrudo amrdam cha. Amrdam, mrudam, both happens. Prayachado mrityu mrudo amrdam cha maya manushyasa vadasa vidvan. That says there, isn't it? Maya manushyasa vadasa vidvan. Similarly, that asau tadalmaga bhavati, this Atma inside, he is time personified, that is. Time personified is. So therefore, because it is time personified, Atma is time personified, or Atma is the same as time, Atma won't do any damage to time. It cannot do any damage to time. Just like they give the example here, na agner na tabo na himasya tatsya agnehi hedo tudamshasya jwalade tapo na asti. Because due to fire, fire cannot destroy fire, is it not? Fire cannot destroy fire. And those that things are coming out from the flame that's coming from the fire,
That won't feel the heat of the fire. It won't feel the heat of the fire. Similarly, he says here, Himasya Shaityam Tadamshasya Nashakam Na Bhavadi. Just like when there is a snowfall, that effect of cold, feeling of that cold effect, and that will not give any feeling for that snow. Snow doesn't get affected by the cold, isn't it? Similarly, he says here, this Atma is Tasya Parasya Dundvam Na. That this duality does not exist in Atma. Kasmai Krudhyeda. Therefore, why get angry with Atma? It says, Krudhyeda Kasmai Na Parasya Dundvam. Dundvam means duality. Duality is this, that we experience heat and cold, is it not? But if you ask the snow doesn't experience any cold. And fire doesn't experience any heat on its own. They are so pure in that way. Whereas we experience both heat as well as the cold. So when you experience the two, it's called a dhondo. Happiness and distress, heat and cold, black and white. This is all in the dvandvam. That's all dvandvam. Whereas in pure form, they don't experience anything like that. So that is what it is meaning here. Kala, similarly, Atma is pure, like the snow or like the fire. It's pure. It doesn't have any duality in that. No dual effect in them. Dvandvadism it is. So dvandvadism means that it does not have any duality, cannot affect them. Like we get affected. So that's what it is saying there. So let's look at that verse. Kalam. Kalam, he says here, Kalam comes. Why Kalam, time is like Atma? Why is it considered like that? Reason is this. Kalam, when we take it into our mind, only then past, present, future comes. Is it not? Otherwise, this past, present, future has no meaning. What does past, present, future means? Only when the mind enters into it. Is it not? Suppose, now it is present. After a second, by the time you look, this moment has become past. And future is unknown to us. We'll get there one day. And what does future means? Where is future existing? It's all in the mind. So, past, present, future exist only in the mind. Otherwise, time, like space, has no measuring process. Time cannot be measured. Like space, you can't measure, can you? How much can you measure the space? Atma is always considered with those two because of that. Because of this reason. So, that's why I say here. So, when somebody says here, that I have got a bad time. Some people are saying my time is bad. Some people say my time is good. When they are doing well, they say my time is good. And whatever they do at that time, if everything becomes successful in their vyavaharam, if it comes well, comes out well, then they say my time is good. They say like that, isn't it? And some people, everything goes trouble, becomes trouble, then they say the time is bad. So, what is interesting here is, both of them are living in the same time. And one person is saying, my time is good. Another person is saying, my time is bad. But they are living in the same time. They are living in the same time. So, so same time, there cannot be two different times, good time and bad time. It cannot happen. What is time means? Time means Atma. Time is Atma. Atma is another, Atma's nature is this time, Atma's identity. That is what in that verse mentions, isn't it? Viryani tasyakila deha vajam andar bahi purusha kala rupai. Inside us Atma, outside us time. Inside us consciousness, outside us time. Inside us consciousness, outside us time. Things that can compare with Atma is, one is this time, one is this space. Time and space. Andarbahi purusha kala rupai. Prayachado mrtyumradamradam cha maya manushyasya vadasa vidvan. If you fall under the grip of time, then you get affected by maya.
That means that if your mind goes outwardly to the world, you will get infected by the Maya, three modes of nature, and then you will Maya Manushyasya Vadasya Vidvan, that you will be under the influence of Maya, three modes of material nature. If your attention goes, Shraddha goes inwards, then you get into the impact, you get influenced by the Atma, and then you are eternal. Amrutatva comes from that. Because Atma is eternal. Because Atma is eternal. So time and me, consciousness, they are not different. They are not different from each other. So because it is like that, consciousness cannot do any damage to time, or time cannot do any damage to consciousness also. Suppose it is your own reason, if you take it like that, will it experience like that? No. He mentions that why? Na agne hitapo. Heat doesn't have, fire doesn't have, it won't complain about heat. Similarly, snow will not complain about the cold either. Similarly, that is their nature. Fire is saying, I'm getting the heat, I'm feeling the heat. It never complains that. Similarly, kalam, it cannot be separated from Atma. Kalam cannot be separated from Atma. Just like fire, heat cannot be separated from the fire. Cold cannot be separated from the snow. Similarly, time cannot be separated from Atma, consciousness, or spirit. Time and spirit are together, present all the time, everywhere. You can't measure it. Only if you can bring it under the control of the mind, then you can measure it. But you can't. For convenience sake, for vyavaharam purposes, we have the clocks, watches, time, measurement, everything. But otherwise, when you come to beyond that, if you transcend the mind, then where is the time? Where is the space? Where is consciousness? Everywhere, isn't it? So, that is what he is saying here. So, therefore, mind is responsible for this problem. Mind is responsible for this problem. That is a way of saying that. Because you are experiencing the time through mind, isn't it? Experience the time through the mind. So when somebody says that time is causing, my time is not good, time is bad, that means you have brought the time under the influence of the mind. And that is when you start saying past, present, future, everything. So again, who is responsible? Mind is responsible, is it not? So this is the way Bhikshu is putting it to us, to look at it this way, everything. Everything from the Vedantam position, Vedantic position is like this. And this is exactly the same thing what Sridhara Swami has also mentioned in the Bhagavatam, which is way of looking at things. And he is saying to us that Nayam Janome Sukaduka Hedu. People are not responsible, Devadas are not responsible, planets are not responsible, Karmam is not responsible, Kalam is not responsible. Only mind is responsible. That is the thing. Nayam janome sukadukha hetu na devada alma graham karmam kalam. Neither of the six are responsible. Then what is responsible? Manaparam karanam amanandi. Because I have got this thing called mind. And because of that, all these problems have come, he says here. So, So, after saying that, he is saying here that the after rejecting all these six different reasons, what he has himself presented as responsible for our happiness and distress in this world, in a general format, he is also denying several other things. For example, you can see here that other causes, what can happen. Na kena chil kwabi kadanjana syal dundoparagaha parada parasya yadahamam samskruti rupina syal devam prabuddhona bibhedi bhudaihim. ദകേനജല് ക്വാബി കഥഞ്ജനാസ്യാൽ ദ്വന്ദ്വോപരാഗോ പരത പരസ്യാം യദാഹം സംശ്രീ സംസൃതിരൂപിണസ്യാൽ ദേവം പ്രബുദ്ധോ ന ബിഭേദി ബോധൈഹി. പരതപരസ്യ അസ്യ ദ്വന്ദ്വോപരാഗ സംസൃതിരൂപിണ അഹം യഥാസ്യാൽ തഥാ കേനജിൽ ക്വാപി കഥഞ്ജനസ്യാൽ. സൻ ആത്മാ ഹാസ് ഇറ്റ് ഗോട്ട് എനി കണക്ഷൻ വിത്ത് ഡ്യുവാലിറ്റി? ഹി ഈസ് ആസ്കിംഗ് ദാറ്റ് അഹങ്കാരം. നൗ വെൻ ഡ്യുവാലിറ്റി ദ്വന്ദ്വം, വെൻ ദ്വന്ദ്വം ഇസ് അനദർ ഫാക്ടർ. Dvandvam means this duality. Who experiences duality? Duality is experienced by the mind. Experienced by the mind. Mind experiences duality, isn't it? Like in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna calls us as Dvandvatraya Vibhagayo. That Dvandvam also is an issue. Dvandvam is because of the presence of the mind. Presence of the mind. Or this connection with the Dvandvam, duality, only Alma has, Alma can never have. Only Ahangaram has got effect of Dvandvam. And presence of Dvandvam means material existence, isn't it? Presence of Dvandvam, Dvandvam means duality. This what we see here in this world, Gunam Dosham, that's a Dvandvam. Remember, Krishna mentions good and bad. To think somebody is good, somebody is bad. Somebody is right, somebody is wrong. And somebody is a friend, somebody is enemy. This is Dvandvam. It's a problem it is. Somebody is good, somebody is bad. Somebody is my friend, somebody is my enemy. That's called Dvandvam. Boy and a girl. Day and night. Man and woman. And happiness and distress. Heat and cold. Krishna has touched this issue straight in the second chapter, isn't it? She is Oshnam, Sukha Dukhada, Sukham Dukham, Agam Abayino Nityam, Tam Tivikshasva Bharata. He said that. Why did he say that to us? Matras Parashastu Kaunteya. Sheetoshna Sukha Dukhada. Agam Abayino Anityam, Tam Tivikshasva Bharata. Because Dvandvam is Anityam. Temporary it is. It's not permanent. Therefore you should tolerate it, Krishna saying. Tam tidikshasva bharata. Agamapayino anityam tam tidikshasva bharata. So knowing that dvandvam, this dvandvam means duality. Duality in life. So duality is not good. Duality is wrong. So when we say that somebody is my friend or somebody is my enemy, it's wrong. Wrong in the sense that from spiritual point, it's wrong. Not good. To say that. Nobody is your friend, nobody is your enemy either. So that is why Krishna says, Matras Prashastu Kaundeya. Arjuna, this only happens when Matras Prashastu Kaundeya. Tanmatra, Panchatanmatra is this body, material body. When they are in contact with the matter, precious sense objects, then Shidam Ushnam, happiness and cold and heat and cold you are experiencing. Similarly, happiness and distress comes. So, but they will come and go. Dvandvam's nature is like that. It will not stay permanent. It will keep coming and going. That is the nature of Dvandvam. It's not transcendental, in other words. It's under the influence of the mind. Agamabhayano anityam. Therefore, tam tivikshasva bharata. Arjuna, you have to tolerate that. So, Krishna touched Dvandvam there itself in the second chapter. Is it not? Dvandvam. So, this Dvandvam, if you think that that is the cause, he is saying finally, because he did not include that in the six major ones he covered. But everybody is in Dvandvam. But he is refuting that here. How is he refuting? He says, Na kenajil kwabi katanjanasyal dvandvoparaga parata parasyaham. Then, Atma cannot have any contact with Dvandvam, duality. Duality cannot exist in Atma. Cannot exist in Atma. But Ahangaram, because Ahangaram is present, duality is present. Like Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam. That also exists in the Ahangaram only, not in the Atma. Similarly, this duality also exists only in the Ahangaram, not in the Atma. That is why. So in other words, material existence means samsaram, isn't it? Samsara dhava nanalitha loga. So this samsaram exists due to dvandvam. Dvandvam is responsible for that. And samsaram means that dvandvam is there in life. And the samsaram, when samsaram is there, material existence is there, dvandvam will be there. Dvandvam will be there. In our prayers also, the first verse. Samsaram? No. When we recite in the Bhagavadam, the first verse. Samsara sagare magnam dinamam karunanidhe. Samsaram is considered to be a sagaram. Sagaram means ocean. Ocean of material existence. Samsara sagare magnam. I'm drowned in that, you say. I'm drowned in that samsara sagaram. Isn't it? So one who is drowned in the samsara sagaram means one who is very much in this duality, in dvandvam. When he is experiencing that dvandvam, that means he is in material existence. Therefore, when happiness and distress comes, Krishna is saying, what did he say? Tam vidya dukkha sam yogam viyogam yogasam idam. Isn't it? Yam labdhva chabaram labham anyade nadiyam tada tasmal sthidena dukkhena guru nabhi vijayalyade tam vidya dukkha sam yogam viyogam yogasam idam. The sixth chapter. He is saying, sukham and dukkham, if it is not creating any dvandvam inside, then you are situated in the yoga state. Because that is what sukham dukkham does, isn't it? Happiness and distress creates dvandvam inside us. That's dvandvam it is. You're feeling happy when something goes well in vyavaharam, and when you feel unhappy when something goes wrong. They both should not happen. If it is happening, that means samsaram, material existence. Therefore, Krishna is saying that tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samyidam. Samyoga viyogam should not contribute to dukkham, distress. In that case, yoga samyidam, Krishna mentions there, isn't it? So, evam prabuddho na bibedi bodhai. So, one who has understood all these things and who has accepted all these things, he will know that dvandvam, duality is also, is only for ahangaram, not for Atma. This understanding will come to him. Krishna is saying in this last verse. Then the Bhikshu is saying to us, he's saying that I have analyzed everything very well myself, he's saying, and now I found out where the problem is. Where is the problem? In the mind. I've understood that. And then he's saying here, that now what I will do, mind means what? The modes of nature. And there is avidya, or tamogunam. Tamogunam is avidya. Then I will transcend it, he says. I will get over this. And that is that next verse. Edam samasthaya paralma nishta adhyasidam purvatamer maharshibi aham tarishyami durandabharam tamo mugundhangri nishevayaiva edam samasthaya paralma nishtam adhyasidam purvatamer maharshibi aham tarishyami durandabharam tamo mugundhangri nishevayaiva. He says, purvatamai maharshibhi adhyasitam etam paralpmanishtam astaya aham muhundangra nishevayeva durandavaram tamaha tarishyami. He is saying here, great rishis and sages, they have taken Krishna's shelter. Tamo muhundangra nishevayeva. They took Krishna's shelter. And I will also do the same thing, he says. I will also do the same thing. And simply by serving Krishna, simply by pleasing Krishna, I will get over this ajnanam, this samsara, material existence. And I will be able to do that. He is making a conclusion about that in that verse. Edam samastaya paralpa nishta. That paralpa nishta, that's what he calls it as. Adhyasinam purvatamayir maharshibi.
all the great, great sages, that they have crossed over that ignorance. They also had ignorance, but they came out of that ignorance. Aham Tarishyami, I will also cross over in the same way. Duranda Param, most difficult thing to cross over, that tamas, ajnanam, avidya, in other words. Mukundangri Nisheva Yeva. Mukunda is Krishna. Why? Krishna is pleasing Krishna. By service to Krishna. He says like that. So, here, in the last verse he mentions there, that dvandvam cannot happen, he mentioned. Is it not? So, suppose, what is dvandvam? Let's understand that also. Dvandvam means something that is opposing you. You are going in one way, somebody else is opposing way coming. Opposing something happens. That's when dvandvam comes. Duality comes, isn't it? So, in fact, soul doesn't have any dvandvam. Soul doesn't have any dvandvam. Because here soul exists, in others also soul exists. It's only when we identify with the body, dvandvam comes. Dvandvam comes there. Because Atma cannot be affected by another Atma. Atma is present everywhere and Atma is not affected by from another person. It's only the matter that gets affected. So, from other person, other objects, or from other's action, no influence can happen on the Atma. On the Atma. For example, somebody else has done something to me. If I say that, to whom has he done? Not to my Atma, isn't it? It is to the body or to my mind, my Ahankara. It affects this. So, this whole creation, Srishti, the basis of this whole creation is this Ahankaram, isn't it? From Ahankaram, Srishti comes. If you remember that the whole Srishti process, if you take Pradhanam, Mahatattvam, Maya. From Maya, Ahankaram divides into three due to its impact by Maya. Maya influences the ego. And Ahankaram splits into three as Satvikam, Rajasam, Tamasam, Ahankaram. So, and from there, mind was born from Satvika Ahankaram, senses were born from the Rajasa Ahankaram, and the body and has come from the Tamasa Ahankaram, isn't it? So, these things, Maya and the Maya's another aspect called avidya, which is ajnanam or avidya, and from that avidya ahankaram, and from ahankaram the mind, and from the mind dvandvam. Dvandvam has come from the mind, and vritti and vigaram, the emotions, this all combined is samsaram, is it not? All of them must be there, only then material existence is there. The way it works is, that Maya's nature is avidya. Maya means three modes of nature. Satyam, Rajasam, Tamasam. They combine together is called Maya, Prakriti, in other words. Its nature is avidya. And from avidya, Ahankaram comes. And from Ahankaram, mind comes. And from the mind, all kinds of dualities. Mind creates that duality. Good, bad. Remember Krishna mentioned in the Bhagavatam, Gunadosha Drishir Dosham. He says, seeing good and bad itself is bad, he said. Why? Because it's dvandvam. That is why he said that. And gunastu ubhaya varjita, the good thing is to give up both. Seeing good and bad itself is bad. And the good thing is to give up both, good and bad. Gunadosha drishir dosho, gunastu ubhaya varjita, Krishna says in the Bhagavatam. So there itself, dvandvam Krishna has rejected before. So that dvandvam has come from the mind only, like the Bhikshu has also said, mind is responsible. And if you are able to control the mind, the other things will all go, everything will go. Once the mind has gone, when we say control the mind, it's not the right word actually. I don't know how to put that word in the English, because control means you are trying, there is ahankaram only can control the mind, is it not?
But that is not the right word, control. But what is the word? I don't know. What's the right word in English? I don't know. You don't control the mind. Once you say I'm control, once you say you're controlling something, means controller is there. But controller has to go. Generally in other languages, we say, for example, in Tamil, they say attakam. Attakam means it surrenders, subdues. But when you subdue somebody, that's also wrong. It has to subdue itself. It has to subdue itself. Surrender itself on its own. That is what is called, that's what is expected. The mind has to subdue and disappear itself, dissolve itself and disappear from here, from inside. Like what it does in the deep sleep state, in Sushupti. There you are not controlling it. So control is not the right word. In deep sleep, you are not controlling. It disappears on its own, isn't it? It disappears on its own. In a similar way, the mind has to go. In similar way, the mind has to go. So, from Krishna is saying here that mind is like a middleman. It's like the... This middleman always causes problem, isn't it? They will exploit both sides, the producer and the buyer. The middleman does that. Everybody likes to be a middleman. The middleman does all the causes, all the problems, isn't it? So it is because this middleman has come and who is causing all the problems, and the middleman is so powerful, he has got control over everybody. All middle agents are like that, isn't it? They'll take commission from the producer, and they'll take commission from the buyer also. You will see this middleman in every business in India. There is a middleman for everything. If you want to get a room in the hotel, there is a man there, a middleman. He'll take you to the hotel and he gets a commission from you and a commission from the hotel owner. Even to get a taxi, sometimes there's a middleman. It used to be, I don't know where it's in, not so much now. In the past, as soon as you come out of the airport or train station, they will follow you, the middleman. And they will take money from you. Somehow they will make sure that he gets his cut on that. Similarly, this mind is like that. He will exploit us as much as he can. And he will exploit Maya also in his own way. And he says, so because the mind is not under control, control means it's not going away, that he is present in us all the time, keeping a good coverage of Alma. Constantly covering Alma all the time. Not allowing the Alma to manifest. Alma to manifest here. And the very existence, he gives you a false feeling of existence here. To this world, he gives you reality to the world. He gives reality to the world, this mind. He gives reality to this body, is it not? Makes you feel that, oh, you are the body and everything is okay. And somehow you have to take care of the body. Like this, it injects a certain kind of avidya. That's called avidya. It injects that ignorance into us. It injects an ignorance into us. And one who has realized the self, he does not have this ahankaram, false ego inside. And when you have false ego, you will never get to know Alma. You will never get to know the soul. When you have false ego, you will never get to know the soul. So, in everyone, so in the material existence, samsaram or material existence, we are called the samsari. Samsari means who is in the material existence. So this samsaram, where does it exist? The root cause or the root of the whole thing is this ahankaram, false ego, isn't it? And because I have that ahankaram in me, I am feeling birth and death. Feeling birth and death, happiness and distress. And similarly, I feel that I'm a boy, I'm a young man, I'm a middle-aged man, I'm an old man. All this is due to ahankaram inside. It's a very subtle thing to understand that. You can understand happiness and distress is experienced by the ego. Equally, this birth death also is experienced by the ego. That ahankaram fears death.
Ahankaram fears birth. Ahankaram fears about the old age. Ahankaram fears about the disease in the body. Everything is centered around ahankaram. When we say ahankaram, it is both ahankaram and the mind. Both you have to take into, because it's one entity. In different forms, it's when it's suffering in one way, we call it as ahankaram. When it's experiencing in sankalpa vikalpam, it is manasa. That's all. It differences. Vastu is one. So, the important thing Krishna is trying to point out here is that ahankaram, if ahankaram is there, ahankaram means this false ego. If he is there, all these things are there. Which one? Birth, death, old age and disease, death, and happiness and distress, pain and pleasure, all these things. I have taken birth, I am feeling, I am dying, I am feeling happy, I am dying. Not only that, he says, even when you are a boy, or when you are a young girl, or I am a boy, I am a girl, or I am a middle-aged man, teenager, boy or a girl, or I am a young man or a young woman, or I am a middle-aged man or a middle-aged woman, or I am an old man, old woman. All this is where in ahankaram only, in reality it doesn't exist. It's only in the ahankaram. Once the ahankaram goes away, jnani is realized soul, they don't say I am old person, I am an old man, or I am an old lady. They don't say that. Once they have realized the, come out of this. This duality is creates all these false conceptions in us. All these false conceptions in us. And I am a man, I am a woman, including that, goes away. So all these things depends on what? Depends on the ahankaram. All these things depends on the ahankaram. That is what Krishna is saying here. So once this ahankaram goes away, false ego goes away, then it cannot exist. All these problems now, what we are talking about, birth, death, old age and disease. Similarly, boy, girl, man, woman, dvandvam, duality, those things. Happiness and distress. All these things will disappear once the ahankaram goes away from inside. Ahankaram and mind is very close. When we say ahankaram is when we are a jiva, we address it as ahankaram. And that same jiva is got this ahankaram as well as this mind. Certain things like sukham, dukham, it's experienced in the mind. And the cause of that is ahankaram. So the whole thing is one entity. How Krishna says that in the Bhagavatam, you have to look at that. Only then you will get a good experience of that. In the 13th chapter of the 11th canto, Krishna puts it very nicely. Ahami tanyada buddhi, he says there. Ahami tanyada buddhi. If you look at that word, that is in the Hamsa Gita, Krishna says. First, ninth verse, Shri Bhagavan Vacham, Ahamityanyadha Buddhi, Pramattasya Yadha Hridi, Ulsarpadi Rajo Goram, Tato Vaikariyam Manaha. Ahamityanyadha Buddhi, it's a very famous verse. Ahamityanyadha Buddhi, Pramattasya Yadha Hridi, Ulsarpadi Rajo Goram, Tato Vaikariyam Manaha. This is the whole problem Krishna saying. This verse, you see, Uddhava asked a question. This very good question Uddhava has asked, and Krishna's answer. What was Uddhava's question? Uddhava asked a question, which is very interesting question. He says, Uddhava Vacha, the verse before that, he says, Vidandi Martya Prayena Vishayan Padam Apadam Tadabi Bunjade Krishna Talkadam Shukhara Javal. Vidandi martya prayena vishayan padam apadam tadabhi munjave krishna talkadam shukharajaval. Then Uddhava's question was like this. He says that everybody knows in this world they are all living in fear, some fear, isn't it, about the future, and this uncertainty about life, death will come. What's going to happen after that? No clue.
what will happen after death. And even while living here, full of anxiety only. There's no real peaceful existence here. Always in anxiety, isn't it? Vidandi Martya Prayena Vishayan Padam Avadam. He says here, there is so much fear in everybody about death, about life in this world, and all sorts of anxiety. In spite of all that, how come that they are trying very hard to become happy here? And they know that they can't be here forever happily living here. It's not possible. In spite of all that, people are still trying to become happy here. Why is this? Uddhava's question. And he says there, and he uses a little bit, very heavy language. He says, Shuava Karam Ajam. Three things. Like the dogs, or the donkeys, or the goats, he said. Shuava Karam Ajam. About us, Uddhava is saying this. Why is this mentality, he's saying? That they know that death is coming, they'll have to die and go, and they don't know where they are going. That's one thing. Even when they are here also, there is no practically any happiness. It's just every day struggling with the world and full of anxiety and fear all the time. Absolutely no shanti in any form here. And in spite of all that, shamelessly, they are running after this sense gratification in this world to get some happiness here somehow. Why this mentality like this, he says. You can see why he has used that example, isn't it? Shava, Karam, Ajam. The three animals, their nature. If you analyze their animal's nature, all three of them have got this problem with them. Dog is like that, isn't it? If you give food to the dog, he will show you extreme loyalty. That's all it matters to the dog, food. If you give, it will keep on wagging its tail and come, start licking you, and you feel, oh, he's my friend, because he's doing all those things. Shuava, that mentality, dog's mentality. Then next one is donkey. That we don't need explanation, isn't it? Donkey mentality, that one. Then the goat, another one. Goat is like that. What they say, when you take the goats for slaughter, it has got its rope on its neck, and he is pulling there. In the villages, when these butchers, they try to kill the goat, it is pulling, the goat knows that it's going to get killed very soon. That's what he is taking for. Even while going through the street, there will be some grass standing somewhere. The goat will go and start biting that grass. It wants to eat that little grass, what it can get before. Just some grass, some plant, something, because of that attachment to that eating in that way. So these three animals, dog, donkey, and this goat, they all have this mentality like this. They know they're going to die, but donkey is also like that, is it not? Doggy, as long as much as you load, it will take. And there's an interesting story in the Hitopadesham, I think that sales comes, that this washerman, he beats the donkey so much, and he has to carry this whole clothes load into the riverbank where he washes everything. And he won't give anything food to eat. After that, he will let the donkey go away for some time. But when he wants the donkey, he will pull the donkey and use him. Then he will go and eat the grass somewhere. That's all it eats. He'll eat anything. Paper also it eats. Paper, grass, all kinds of plants, rubbish, so many things he eats. So the dog is asking the donkey that you are getting old. Why you are working like this here? Why you are working like this for this washman? He is beating you every day. He doesn't give anything to you to eat. And what you are eating, it's available everywhere. Whether the washman gives it or not, you can have it still. No. So why you come here and do the work like this? So donkey's answer to the dog, he's saying to the dog, if I don't do the work, he won't give me my food. So some misconception in the head of the donkey. So donkey is thinking that I cannot exist in this world if I don't have a master. if I don't have a master. So this dog, donkey, goat business, that's what Uddhava is asking here. Shuava karam ajam, he says. He says here, vidandi martya prayena vishayan padam apadam tadabhi bunjade Krishna tal katham shokharajavad. Krishna, why is it like this? Shuava karam ajam, like this, people like this, in this nature. It is at that time, look at Krishna's answer. Ahamityanyadha buddhi pramattasya yada hridi ulsarpadirajo khoram tato vaikarigam manaham. He says, pramattasya ahamityanyadha buddhi hridi yadha yadhavad ulsarpadi tadaha vaikarigam abhi manaha pradi khoram rajaha ulsarpadi. Then he is saying here, when you have become pramattam, pramattam means that he is fallen into this identification with the body. Nunam pramatta kurude vikarma. Once you have fallen into identification with the body, in that body he feels identity, I am the self. Identification with the body happens to him. And that mithya buddhi, that false decision has happened inside because of the identification with the body. And even if he has sattugunam inside, still rajogunam will come and take over. He says here, ulsarpadi rajoghoram tato vaikarigam mana. Rajogunam means ghoram. Ghoram means very fearful, frightening. This rajoghoram, ulsarpadi, it takes birth inside. See how the three modes of nature plays with us. Ulsarpati rajo goram tato vaikarigam manam. Then when it enters into the mind, it will be in the form of rajogunam. Even though if you have some emotions, even though it is a sattugunam, sattvika vikaram is there, still when it enters into the mind, it becomes rajogunam. It changes its color. Even though it is a sattvika vikaram, it changes into rajogunam. Krishna is saying there, ahamityanyadha buddhi. Ahamityanyadha buddhi means that you have become identification has shifted from the self to the body. Identification has shifted from self to the body. That's why she is saying here that ahamityanyadha buddhi pramattasya yadha hridi ulsarpadi rajogoram tato vaikarigam mana. That means when pramadam comes, that is when you become pramatta. Pramadam means what? Pramadam means that forgetfulness of the truth. Truth you have forgotten. The truth is we are Atma, that we have forgotten. And when you forget that you are Atma, Atma means knowledge. When you forget that you are not, when you forget that you are Atma, what happens? You become ahankara. I am. That ahankaram has come. So you can see from that what Krishna is saying. Ahamit anyadha buddhi. Anyadha buddhi means that aham awareness, instead of alma, it has come as ahankaram. Ahamit anyadha buddhi. Anyadha buddhi is that. That aham has become anyadha buddhi. Anyadha buddhi happens means from alma state you fall into ahankaram state. Jivatvam has come. And ahamityanyada buddhi, what happens? Pramattasya yada hridi. Pramadam has come. Pramadam. That is called pramattasya yada hridi. So when this bhavam, when this state comes, anyada buddhi, Krishna is saying here, this comes from where? Avidya. It comes from avidya. So from ahangaram, maya is avidya. And that avidya is in the three modes. And ahankaram has come from this mind. And from mind, again we have these three modes there, in the modes. Because of the ahankaram it has come from, isn't it? Satyam, Rajasam, Tamasam. So mind takes in these three different patterns. And from that modes of nature, desires have come. Desires have come. Tamogunam means desires. And rajogunam tamogunam, from tamogunam will take create desires inside. So if we are getting a lot of desires, you can take it that there is a lot of tamogunam inside. Any desire, if it's coming up from inside,
Sometimes we say, I would like that to be like this or like to be like that, which means tamogunam is speaking from inside. That's what you have to take notice of. The control of that is that when tamogunam, there is no tamogunam inside, then there won't be any desires either. And remember that incident I mentioned, that there is a mango tree standing there. To understand these three gunam properly, when you're walking through a nice ripe mango, first class mango there, you could have walked past, but instead what did you say? Inside somebody is telling you, let me have the mango. Who did that? Who did that? Tamogunam. Tamogunam did that. Tamogunam in you is created that desire to have that. Then what happens? You want to climb the tree and get the mango. That action to jump and climb over the tree to go and get the mango and to go through all the difficulties of getting there, that is Rajogunam. Somehow or the other pushing you through the action to get you through that, to get the mango, that is Rajogunam. But inside somebody is giving you a good advice, let the mango stand there, I can live without a mango also, rather than going through all the trouble to get it, let me pass through, that is Sattvagunam. So Sattvagunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, how it will influence us, you can see from that example. So, from the desires, from the tamogunam, desires come, and followed by rajogunam, action comes. So, in order to, when the action comes, results will come. And in order for the results to experience, you need different bodies. Bodies will keep changing. So, therefore, you have to accept and give up bodies. So, Krishna is asking here, that actually what is the cause of happiness and distress? That it is this ahangaram. From ahangaram everything has started. So that ahangaram itself is the mind. Ahangaram and mind is not two different things. We must know also that. Remember I mentioned so many times that in the tattva-vicharam, when you discuss in the Vedantam, they explain that ahangaram, manasa, these different words they use. But it is one force that takes this, according to the function, we call it as ahangaram or mind. And when ahangaram is there, you are a jiva. When mind is there, we are a jiva. Atma doesn't have ahangaram, atma doesn't have a mind also. So he mentioned there that, na deval alma graha karma kalam. Planets are not responsible, time is not responsible, devadas are not responsible, Atma is not responsible. So, if you start analyzing like this, you can understand finally that either it is the mind or the ahangaram that is causing this. You can say whichever you like, either you call it as ahangaram or you call it as the mind. They are not two different things. So, because that mind or the ahangaram has not come under control, nirodham they call it, nirodham, blocked in other words. Therefore, sukham and dukham is experienced and samsaram, material existence, nature itself is ahangaram. Material existence means this ahangaram. Like we say about atma, atma means what? Knowledge. Atma's nature is knowledge. And ahangaram's nature is material existence or avidya. Ahangaram's nature is avidya. So if you analyze in this way, it comes to two things, vidya and avidya, knowledge and ignorance. Like we say, prakriti and purusha, in the same way, prakriti is then avidya, purusha is the vidya, in that way. So therefore, it comes to only one thing. Material existence is nature itself is ahangaram. And that Krishna mentions as manomayam. Remember? Manoma, maya manomayam. Mithi maya manomayam. So, for a person who has got this mind destroyed, such a person will never have material existence. It also goes away. So, in this way, one should be able to, suppose one succeeded, with this knowledge of Vichudhita, one managed to come out of this state, from this state.
And that will only come through tattva vicharam. This is why tattva jnanam is necessary. In a systematic way, analyzing the truth and get to know what is reality. What is reality? And because we don't know any, we don't do this properly. Tattva vicharam, as it is called. Tattva vicharam, if you don't do that, therefore, vastu siddhir vicharena na kinchil karma kodipi, says. Then, if you don't understand the vastu through tattva vicharam, you have to accept crores and crores of birth again. Vastu siddhi means atma siddhi, or getting your soul back. You have lost the soul now to get it back. That's what it's called. So, that state one has to reach by proper tattva vicharam, for proper study of the shastram, in other words. And when you start doing that, finally you will reach this state, what is called ahangaram, false ego. And once you realize that that ahangaram or false ego is not real, then what is remaining there? Because everything is dependent on this ahangaram, false ego, isn't it? Because on the basis of ahangaram only I am saying so many things. This is mine. I belong to, this body is mine, and I belong to such and such a place. This car is mine, this house is mine, this family is mine. Like this, so many things is all centered around this one thing, ahangaram. This one thing, ahangaram. So, everything depends on that. So, if it happens that once this ahangaram dies completely, then there is nothing else to talk about, because ahangaram itself is present today in the form of mind, in the form of senses, and in the form of this world. In the form of this world, nothing else. So, at different times, we experience it in different forms. Sometimes ahangaram we experience in the form of the world, isn't it? Or in the form of senses, in the form of mind. But it is ahangaram, it is another version of the ahangaram it is. That. So, then Krishna is saying here, it is the cause of all happiness and distress, birth, death, and only because there is no experience of the truth, therefore this ahangaram keeps on taking birth every day in us, and it stays there in the form of ahangaram. And once you have known about Atma, and once you get to know the very nature of Atma, which is truth, knowledge, everything, and only such a person, this false ego or ahangaram is not a problem anymore. And as soon as he does not know that, that this effect of ahangaram will be there. And and one who has managed to use this Bichugida to evaluate these things properly, and when he becomes conscious of that, that person does not feel anymore any fear in this world. If this knowledge of Bichugida has properly entered inside, and if someone has properly utilized it for his own realization, then it will not cause any more. He will get released from all kinds of fear, and he does not even get frightened about the death, and he has come to know the truth. That means I'm not this body, I'm not this mind, I'm not the intelligence, I'm not the senses. All these things may be existing, but his identity with all of them has gone. His identity has gone. And he also realizes that nobody can do anything to me, and nothing exists outside me. Suppose if it has experienced in that way, then where is the question of fear? Where is the question of distress? All these emotions also cannot exist. It will never happen. So, important thing is to analyze this, what Bhikshu has spoken in these verses, and again go through it and accept it. That is the most important thing. If it's not accepted, but if it's only kept in the periphery, then it's no use. That is what Bhikshu is saying. That Krishna is also saying the same thing. Otherwise Krishna wouldn't have spoken this. Krishna spoke this to Uddhava when Uddhava complained about the world, is it not? When he mentioned about how people hurt him when they speak something very rude or harsh or criticize him, That was the Uddhava's question in the last chapter, at the end, isn't it? Mutridova, he says, if he passes urine on me and abuses me, and how will I bear the rudeness and the rough language they use, and it's more powerful than the arrows in the body when they speak like that. So in answer to that, Krishna said that I will tell you the story of a person who has succeeded in doing that through tattva-vichara, through analysis properly. He analyzed it so well, he says, about who? Avanti Brahmana. Krishna is saying, he analyzed it so well that he managed to escape from the... He was not at all affected anymore by the world, by the world outside. So he's saying here, in the same way, Krishna is saying that Bhikshu has managed to do it. How did he do that? Through tattva-vichara. Understanding it properly, things. Analyzing the mind. And he found out, finally, that mind is responsible for everything. Mind is responsible for everything. Once the mind goes away, mind means ahankaram, both, same thing. Once they have gone, Atma is completely independent. Nobody can touch Atma. None of the things what goes on in this world, vyavaharam or any harsh treatment, rudeness, no such thing will have anything to do with Atma. The jnani state, a realized state. That's what Krishna is talking about here. So, so in this way, they have performed that tattva-vicharam, and that Bhikshu Brahmana, Uddhava says, he says to Uddhava, that how he reached the same way like the rishis have done. Rishis have also done the same thing. Great, great sages. They have done this. And this Brahmana has also done the same thing. And they have given an explanation of everything to us. And not only that, to explain this one principle, they have given so many different Vedic literature in different forms. Puranam, Upanishads. Puranam and all, the message is the same, but it is spoken through so many different history. And Upanishads also same way. Brahma Sutram, Vedantam, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, like that. Innumerable literature they have given us, all because of this one thing, by acquiring this knowledge. By acquiring this knowledge. And and this Brahmana is saying, in the past, he's saying, all the great, great rishis have followed this path, the same path. I will also do the same thing, he says. Rishis did this and they got over this material existence. They got over the material existence. I will do the same thing and I will cross the material existence in the same way. Paralpa nishta adhyasidam purvatamair maharshivi anandaparam. He says, most difficult thing, this samsaram, material existence. Rishis have crossed over that by proper tattva-jnanam, proper analysis. They did that. And they crossed over. I will do the same thing, says the Bhikshu. And he escaped in that way. So we'll have a break and we'll continue after that. Chedo darpanam arjanam vamaha navadni nirvavanam shreyakaidava chandriga angaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam anandamudhi vardhanam pratipada purnamrudaswadhanam sarvatma suvanam param vijayade Shri Krishna Sangirtanam Namnamakari Bahudat Jasarva Shakti Tatrarpita Niyamida Smaranena Kala Edadrishita Vakrapa Bhagavan Namahi Udeva Midrashamihajani Nanuraga Tranarave Shunichena Tarorave Sahishnuna Amalinamanadena Kirtaniya Sadavari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadisha Kamayim Mama Janmani Janmani Ishwari Bhavadad Bhakti Rahay Dugitvai Aimandadanu Jagingaram Patidamaham Shame Bhavambudo Krubayatavapada Pankajastida Doli Sadrasham Vijindaya Inam Galata Shudharaya
vadanam gadgana vadhaya gira ulakair nijidam tadavabhutavannama grahane bhavishyadi yugayidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name ashlishyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karotuva So we have seen that that what Bhikshu mentioned before in the one of the verses, he said that the when Uddhava asked this question to Krishna in the last chapter, 22nd chapter, at the end, Krishna explained to Uddhava first, Atehi avidyamanobi samsardirna nivartade dhyayalo vishayanasya sapne anarthagamo yada. In the 55th verse, he said that to Uddhava, isn't it? Atehi avidyamanobi. Krishna is trying to get that illusion from Uddhava's mind. Uddhava is thinking about the world as real. Krishna is saying to Uddhava that even if you take this world as real, what you think you are, you're feeling about that, that it's very difficult to get that out of our head, isn't it? The world is not real. Somebody says to us, it's very difficult to accept that. So Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Artehi avidyamanobi samsridirna nivartade. You will never come out of this material existence so long as you think the world is real. You will not come out of it. As long as you are thinking the world is real, you will never come out of material existence. Samsaram, Krishna says. Artehi avidyamanobi samsridir na nivartade. Samsridhi means samsara, material existence. Na nivartade. Why? Dhyayade vishayanasya sopne anarthagamo yada. Then things what you have in meditating in the daytime, in the waking state, when you go into the dream state, they are appearing there. And when you are in the dream state, it's a real for you. In the same way, you have to know that what you experience in the dream state is real, which you were able to reject when you came to the vacant state. Is it not? So what is in the vacant state is not real in the dream state. Similarly, what is in the dream state is not real in the vacant state. So Krishna's point is, when you wake up from the dream state into the vacant state, how you are able to not to take seriously anything what happened in the dream state. You also have to learn that when you come out of the real vacant state, this is not real, that this world is not real. And tasmad, therefore, one should not endeavor for sense gratification. Krishna is saying there, because it is like that. If you are thinking that the sense gratification is real, that's also not real. Look at that subtlety of that mind behind it. Krishna is saying to us, because you are thinking that sense gratification is real, so I can't give it up, this world. Krishna says, that's a waste of time. Why? Tasmad uddhava ma bhunkshva vishayan asadindriyaihi alma grahana nirbhadam pasya vaigalpigam brahmam. The last 56th or 57th verse, I think. Tasmad uddhava ma bhunkshva vishayan asadindriyaihi Atma grahana nirbhadam pashyavaigalpiyam brahmam. Because he says, you should never gratify your senses. He's saying, the reason is, he says, that this Veda brahmam about Atma, that Atma is not real, body is real. Atma is not real, world is real. This has come due to that. He says here, Bhunkshva Vishayan Asadindriyai. Indriyams are all dushtam. Dushtam means they are wicked. Senses are all wicked. And because you have enjoyed these senses in the past, that is why you are feeling now. You know, when people ask this, that, oh, I can't understand this. This is not people. Only reason for that is you had too much sense gratification. That's the reason. If you excessively gratify the senses, the result is that when somebody says to you about Atma, it is not going in. It's not going in.
You are finding it very, very difficult because of the... And Krishna is warning that Atmagrahana Nirbhadam, he says, Pasya Vaigalpigam Brahmam. That Brahmam or Vigalpam will come and take control of yourself, and you will find it very hard to experience this, what I am saying to you, Uddhava, he says to Krishna. Tasmad Uddhava Ma Bhungshua Vishayad Asadindriyehi Atmagrahanam. Atmagrahana Nirbhadam. Nirbhadam, Atmagrahana Nirbhadam means to experience Atma and the shining of Atma inside. Nirbhadam, Bhadi means to Prakasham. Prakasham means to illuminate us. Atma is knowledge, isn't it? Why that knowledge is coming up in us? Atmagrahana Nirbhadam Pasya Vaigalpikam Brahmam. Instead, Vigalpam and Brahmam comes to us. And the reason for that, he is saying here, that because of the ajnanam that is developed due to sense gratification. That is what it is. Ma bhunkshu vishayad asadindriye. Bhunkshwa vishayam. Vishayam means senses, sense objects. Asadindriye. With these wicked senses. Because of the wicked senses, absorption in the sense objects, this Atmagrahana Nirbhadam does not happen. Atma is not manifesting. Pashya Vaigalpikam Mana. Instead, Vigalpam and mind is controlling our life. So, all we have to understand is this. We don't have to blame anybody except ourselves. Nobody else is to be blamed in this. That if we are not feeling that spiritual strength or spiritual understanding, it's only because of our own avidya inside, ajnanam inside, which has come through sense gratification. And he says then, Krishna says to Uddhava, you shouldn't even try to change the world or find some solution to your problems in this world. You should not do that. He says, instead, you should be fixed in the platform of the soul. That is the answer to the problem. That is why he said that, Kshipto avamanido asadbi pralabdho asuido thava taadidaha sannibadhova vrityaha parihavidaha nishtido mutrudova atnir bahudevam pragambida shreyaskama krichragada alpana alpana mudharel. Krishna has only this one message to give us. He is saying that even though it is like this now, already it is, things are pretty bad with our ajnanam, avidya inside. Things are particularly bad, he says. And then in this state also, you are trying to look for solution to the problems of this world. That is dangerous, he says. That's not going to help you. What you have to do now, he says to him, that even if you get offended, insulted, cursed or criticized or praised or whatever it may be, whichever way the world is treating you, at least don't react to it, he says. Withdraw from the world. And nishtido mutridova atnyer bahudevam pragambidaha. That they may do anything to you. They spit at you. They will pass urine on you. Bahudevam prakambidaha. In many ways, they will yell at you. Doesn't matter. Shreyaskava krichragadaha. That if you are really concerned about acquiring this truth or realizing the truth, shreyaskama krichragadaha alpan alpanam udharel, you have to do it on your own. Nobody is going to come and do that for you. This is the message. That's how Krishna finishes that chapter in the previous. Now, coming here, we have seen now that the Bhikshus also saying that the Rishis have understood this principle from very beginning and they have acted in the same way. I will do the same thing, he says. So he is also following the same footsteps of the great Rishis. He is saying to us. So we have seen this also in the earlier verse that when we talked about that karta, bhokta, alpa, analpa, that's the way we have analyzed this, isn't it? And when we mentioned that, we understood that this ahankaram or false ego, we have to first get ourselves freed from the effect of this false ego. False ego is an unreal thing. It's not a real thing. Due to the combination of the spirit and the matter, it has taken birth. That's what Krishna is saying here. That That is why Krishna says, a mysterious entity it is. It's a mysterious one. It's generated, which is called, that we call that verse as in the jada jadatam. That is that special word in that verse. You remember? He calls that verse as jada jadatam. Jada jadatam means this. Karmastu hedu sukadukhayo shel kim alpanasthadi jada jadatve. Jada jadatam. It's a special word which our Avanti Brahmana has used. Jada jadatam means that this combining of spirit and the matter, because it doesn't call it as a material body, but the body and the spirit getting together due to that, jada jadatam. And therefore, jada jadatam, because of that, ahangaram was born. Because of that, ahangaram was born. Jadatam means an alma, isn't it? Jadatam means an alma. Ajadalma means jada jadatam. Ajadatam means spirit. Jada jadatam. Jada ajadatam. So jada jadatam is matter. Ajadatam is spirit. Or ajadatam means consciousness. And jadatam means matter. Matter. Only then karta is possible. Only then I am the doer comes. Is it not? Ahangaram comes. And then karta comes. Karmam comes. Bhalam comes. And sukham dukham comes. And then when you start inquiring, this ahangaram is not there. It's not real either. So therefore he said, Bhikshu says, why you get angry with the world? Because he is the I who claim I am suffering. Or when you make an inquiry, you find that it is a mystical thing. Because in the process of self-inquiry, that is what happens. It's a mystical thing. So it's not there. He explains in that. He says there, Dehastu ajil purushoyam suparna. You have to look at that verse a little bit more carefully. He says there, Dehastu ajil deha. Dehastu ajil purushoyam suparna, he says. Deham is an alma, isn't it? Body is an alma, jadaswarubam. Jadam, it's dead matter. It cannot be karta. Dehastu ajil purushoyam suparna. And it cannot generate any karma. Deham cannot generate any karma. If this body can create karma, then the dead body also will start doing karma. Karma happens only when you are living, isn't it? Dead body doesn't have any karma. Krishna is saying here that analpa, which is dehastvajil, Dehastvajil purushoyam suparnaha. That only when the alpa is there, karmam happens in the deham, in the body. Karmam happens in the body only when the alpa is present. Otherwise, karmam doesn't happen. When the alpa leaves the body, karmam stops. Karmam stops. So karmam doesn't happen. And he says here, purushoyam suparnaha. I am purushaha suparnaha. Remember this word, suparna. Suparna. Dva suparna saija sakhayam samana vriksham parishas sajade. In the Upanishad that word comes, suparna. Suparna means consciousness. Purushaha, it is in the Mundaka Upanishad also, this verse. Dva suparna saija sakhaya samana vriksham parishas sajade tayor anyam pipala swadvatti anashtananyo abhijagashiti. That is the word. I am Purushaha. Purushaha means not man. It is in not that sense. Purushaha means Alma, spirit. Spirit is called Purushaha. Purushaha. In other words, Vigara Chaitanya Pravaham. In other words, what in the form of, from spirit is matter or consciousness form, which is present. Alma also cannot generate karma. Body also cannot generate karma. Alma also cannot generate karma. Therefore, we are feeling or knowing about karma only in the presence of Alma and Analma together. That is called this, it is a mysterious thing. Is it not? It's really a mysterious thing. How karma? Karma is so powerful, but karma is only created by the combination of spirit and the matter. That is why karma is such a powerful thing. That without Alma on its own cannot create karma. Matter on its own cannot create karma. Only when they come together, karma starts. Karma develops. And karma is discussed so much in the Bhagavad Gita. Is it not? First six chapters is karma yoga. First six chapters is karma yoga. All about karma. How to switch the karma into karma yoga, isn't it? And 80-90% of Vedam is karma kandam. 80% of Vedam is karma kandam. Jnana kandam and Upasana kandam is very small compared. Upasana kandam is small, Upanishads only. Whereas the Jnana kandam, whereas karma kandam, majority of Vedam, if you look into it, is karma kandam. It is karma kandam. So karma has this, and this karma takes birth when Alma and matter get together. Body, Shariram, body and Alma, consciousness, when they join together, karma takes birth. Otherwise not. And when they separate, karma is finished. So now you see how technically Krishna has explained everything in the Bhagavad Gita. That you can see that this birth of karma is the cause of all the problems. And this planetary system itself is called Karma Mandalam, isn't it? Earthly planet is called Karma Mandalam, where karma has the greatest influence on us. So, more you study about, you can see this, those who have, then we are knowing about karma, and that is called a magic or mystery. It's a magic, the whole thing is a mystery. And Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that Arjuna, this thing called karma, don't ask too much question about that. Why? Because he says there that when Krishna, karma, all that was discussed there, you will see in the 5th, 6th chapter. So there Arjuna asked this question to Krishna about karma, a few questions. So Krishna says to Uddhava, even highly realized people, they cannot explain karma, he says. Even highly realized people cannot explain karma. You cannot say why it has happened. Exactly, to precisely to say something is difficult. There's a verse there, he says there that the way Krishna answered that to Arjuna was, he says to him, karmam, he says, not coming. Somewhere where he says it's a mystery. Which one? Karmam. Karmam is a mystery, he says. Krishna is saying this, karmam is a mystery. So similarly, you can see here also that Bhikshu is also saying the same thing, that we know about karmam only when there is a karta, doer. And who is the doer? Alma is not the doer. Body is not the doer, isn't it? Alma is not the doer. Body is also not the doer. Then who is the doer? Who is the doer? This question is asking. Bhikshu is also asking, who is the doer? That is the mystery behind it. Very difficult to pinpoint him, the karta. Very difficult to find out who it is doing that. So in this way, saying that, you see, like in the science they say something called optical illusion, similar to that. It's an optical illusion, isn't it? So science is also saying to us that the energy in motion appears as matter. See, actually science is also, now the physics, they're saying that matter itself doesn't exist. It's always things in motion. Energy in motion, they call it. And in physics, advanced physics and all that, they make this statement like this, that if you have a powerful eye, you will not see this beautiful body. When you see the body through these powerful it's an optical illusion, they call it. This body is an optical illusion. That means when you look at a body, you say somebody is very beautiful. He says there is no beauty there. It's an optical illusion that is created by the form.
by the create, by the form. So we will not see the beautiful body. Instead they are saying, you only see the energy in motion there in the body. And because of the speed, it creates an illusion or a tangible entity you are feeling there, because of the illusion that's created by that. And science says like this about energy. In the physics they talk about all these words. It doesn't matter. Why? Because in Vedantam they have spoken these things before. You will find this in Mundaka Upanishad as well as in the Brihadaranyaka. They mentions like this, world is, he says here, world is consciousness and in seeing motion. They call it as Alatha Chakram. Brahmanam. Alatha Chakra Brahmanam. Mandukya Upanishad, Gaudapada Kariga, he mentions this, that consciousness is seeing motion of Ahankaram, Karmam and its Bhalam. These three things. These three are really not there, but what you see in motion, conscious world is consciousness in motion. Consciousness in seeing motion. When you see motion, motion is affected by these three things, Ahankaram, Karmam and its result, Karmam and Bhalam. And if they are not there and they are not real, as far as the Shastram is concerned, they call it as Alatha Chakram, Brahmanam. If you look into the 13th chapter, Krishna uses that word, Alatha Chakram. Look at that verse in the 13th chapter, well, when we spoke about Hamsagita, Krishna uses that word Alatha Chakram. Krishna is saying that this world, what you see, is a factor. You see reality in it, isn't it? But it is due to the mind. It's due to the mind. And know very well that it is mithya. It is false. How? Because he says here, Adi chalatwal, adi chanchalatwal, alada chakra vaja ikshada. Because it's moving so fast, changing so fast, you are not able to understand that the real nature of it. You are seeing that the world is real. Instead, you are feeling the world is real. But actually, it is moving so fast. The movement is happening so fast. And that is what it is called alada chakram. And the result is, Manovilasam, Drishtam, Vinashtam, Adi Lolam. Four things he says. Manovilasam means that mind is fooling us. Manovilasam. Mind is baffling us while looking at the world. Drishtam, Vinashtam, Adi Lolam. He says. Drishtam, Vinashtam, Adi Lolam. It is so fluctuating, that experience. Adi Lolam it is. And it also gives you this experience, drishtam vinashtam. Sometimes you feel it exists, sometimes it doesn't exist. It doesn't exist. So and due to all these things, manovilasam, drishtam vinashtam, adilolam, because of all these things, what happens? Brahmam. Brahmam happens. Drishtam vinashtam, adilolam, alatha chakram. Alatha chakram means, suppose you have this firewood, piece of firewood, it's burning. Suppose you take it and you start rotating it like this very fast. When you start, you will look, if you look at it from the distance, you will see there is a ring of fire because you are rotating so fast, isn't it? That's called Alatha Chakram. So this Alatha, like the Alatha Chakram, this world is like that. This world is like that. It's not the same world what you are seeing every moment. It's constantly changing, isn't it? But we think, oh, it's there. Some illusion in us. That is called illusion, Maya. Maya makes us feel like that. Just like you stand near a river and you look at the river. And he says, this is the river. Which one are you talking about? The water which you are looking at has flown, already gone. New water has come. By the time you start looking, that water is gone, another water has come. So it's not the same water that is what you are seeing, but you still call it as river. Isn't it? So, drishtam vinashtam adilolam alatha chakram. And vijnana vegam urudhaiva vibhadi maya. He says that egam vijnanam urudha vibhadi. Krishna is saying to us, there is only one thing, Atma, which is knowledge. And that is presenting in front of us in different forms, in the form of changing world and in the form of different anatma. It's all that Atma who is presenting before us. Egam vijnanam urudha vibhadi. As many. That one knowledge is manifesting in front of all of us in different names, different forms, and in different ways these material elements combine together. But the vastu is one. There's only one thing. He says, Vijnanam ekam urudeva vibhadi maya. And this is Maya's power. To put it to us in this different pattern. To make it different and show it to us. Everything is different, 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 different. Why this difference, so much difference in this creation? Because of Maya. Maya means modes of nature. So three modes of nature, that creates this diversity in this world. And then when that diversity increases, it means more Maya. Maya is becoming deeper, deeper level, more the diversity. Svapna stritha guna visarga krito vigalpaham. He says, tasmal guna visarga krita yoyam vigalpa sa maya bhavati. So, the three modes of material nature is this variation in the creation. Variation, variegatedness, they call it, isn't it? Variegatedness. Variations in the creation. It is only due to the three modes of material nature. It's only due to, and it is completely Maya, Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying, Vibhadi, Maya, Svapna Stritha, Guna Visarga Krito, Vigalpaha. Guna Visarga Krita. It is created by the Gunam, three modes of material nature. Guna Visarga Kritam, it is Vigalpam, and Vijnana Mega Kurudeva Vibhadi Maya. Krishna is saying there. Svapna Stritha, Guna Visarga Krito, Vigalpaha. That means in the 13th chapter, when Krishna spoke this, remember when we discussed these verses, Krishna mentioned there that if you want to come out of this Maya, what's the way? That's the next verse. Drishtim dadaprati nivritya nivritta trishna tushnim bhave nijasukhanubhavo niriha samdrishyade kojayadivam avastu buddhya tyaktam brahmayanam bhavayal smritirani padal. They give this example. Drishtim dadaprati nivritya nivritta trishna. When you say suppose you are in a train and the train is standing in a platform, near the platform, it's standing there. Another train is standing in the another platform. Next platform, two platforms. In between there are two trains standing there. One onto this platform, one onto the other platform. Now you are sitting in this train standing and the other train is standing there. Suppose the other train starts moving, what happens? You feel you are moving. Is it not? Everybody gets that feeling. If you look at the other train which is moving, you feel as though you are moving. Krishna is saying, when you look at the world, that should be the attitude. That world, you feel that world is so many things in the world. So if you don't want to get that feeling that you are moving, although if you look into this side, you realize that you are not moving. That's the solution, he says. If you look into Maya, you won't know it, what's happening there. That means you have to look away from the Maya. He says here, Drishtim tada prati nivritya nivritta trishna tushnim bhave nija sukha anubhavo niriha. That if you take your attention away from the other train, then that train, moving train, will not have any more effect on you. You will see you are steady, stationary, where you were before. So the same thing here also, kala karmastu hedu. That when Krishna is talking about this, he is saying here that why do you get angry? Because that really separating, there is no source of karma. Karma's real source is ahankaram. That ahankaram also is not real. So if your attention is not on ahankaram, if it goes away from ahankaram, then you have escaped from that. That therefore you shouldn't get angry. Who gets angry? Ahankaram gets angry, isn't it? That's where it is. So the source of karmam, which is ahankaram, is also a myth. It's also a myth. English word is myth. Sanskrit word is mithya. From that came the English word myth. We say myth, isn't it? It's all a myth, we say. The word myth has come from the Sanskrit word mithya. Mithya means false. So, in the same way, here he says here, there is no karmam, and the source of karmam is ahankaram. Karmam, ahankaram, karmam, karma bhalam. Due to that, janmam, maranam. Jananam, maranam. All these things follow from that. So, when you properly analyze this, Krishna is saying to us, Avanti Brahmana is also saying, that there is no need to get angry, because there is, who is getting angry with whom? It's just saying, kudyada kasmai nahi karma moolam. Due to karmam, you can't blame anybody. Karmam is the cause of your problem. You can't blame anybody. So then finally he is saying here, so many things he has refuted, all the six he has refuted. And he says, kalam, bichu is not, trying. He says it's also another mystery. Kalam, nobody can explain this thing called the time, isn't it? How will you explain time? Time is a mysterious entity, is it not? We call it time, but it's only real as much as the clock is concerned. Otherwise, it is no reality at all. Generally, we don't inquire into that in a particular substance. If you analyze it, it will not come under any substance. Time is a property of something. Is time an active? Time action done by something, it's not an action also. How will you give any meaningful explanation to the thing called the time? How can you give any meaningful explanation to the time? That's not possible. And that is why it is not a property or a substance or an action. More you ask, more mysterious it becomes this time. And science also cannot give any explanation to this thing called the time, isn't it? Time and space, they also can't explain. With all these big science things they talk about, are they able to explain time or space? Science also, even now, time also, space is a mystery. What is space? Whole creation is existing. If you say, like time is a mystery, isn't it? And similarly, space is also a mystery. If we say the whole creation, where is the creation existing? Where does the creation existing, isn't it? That's a mystery. Where does it exist? So, generally we say, creation exists in space and time. These are the two limiting factors of the creation, space and the time. When time and space is a mystery, how can you explain creation? Think that. This is why, remember I mentioned many times before, in Vedantam, they don't want to tell you this creation so much. They are not interested. Because if you start discussing, and if you start asking all these questions, how will you answer? Then time and space is, creation is within time and space. And time and space itself is mystery. So these fools, or these so-called scientists, they're trying, doing all this rubbish thing in that tunnel business. Yeah. What's that called? CERN. CERN, I think. CERN, yeah. CERN, the colliding business and all. They can't even explain time and space. And they are trying to find the creation, beginning of creation, where it has happened. This is our situation. And so much money, energy pumped into it for this whole drama going on there. And there's a lot of work going on in so many parts, in so many universities, all these things. Rishis have found out, without any collider, they found out that time and space is never be able to explain. And so long as you don't know time and space, don't go in that direction of trying to find out creation. When it happened, where it happened, how it happened. All these things are meaningless. But every scripture will give you an explanation for creation. And similarly, Bhagavatam also gives an explanation for creation. Okay, there is certain structure in the way Mahantattvam, Ahamtattvam, Vigaram and elements have come. There is an expression. That sargam is different than the way creation people are expecting to know. What people are asking now is, how did this world come into existence? Who created this? When did that happen? How long will it stay? When will it come to an end? The same mind is working and saying, sun planet has got so much life. And very often you will hear this. Recently there was a statement from scientists saying that the sun will live a lot longer than what we have calculated. They have come out saying some foolish statement like this. So, from Vedanta point of view, it's much more in depth. It will tell you like this, that explanation of creation itself requires an explanation of time and space. If you want to explain creation, first you have to explain time and space, and then we can explain creation. And therefore, he's saying here, what is time? Consciousness, when it is looked through avidya or ignorance, consciousness appears as time in the presence of ignorance. This is Vedanta saying. That because as soon as you bring time into anything, that means consciousness, when it looks through, appears as time in the presence of ignorance. That means consciousness, when it makes contact with avidya, that's when time comes into it. You see how subtle that relationship is. That only when consciousness is in contact with ajnanam or avidya, time can come into calculations. Time can come into calculations. And therefore, this is the definition of time in Vedanta. In Vedanta, time is defined like this. Consciousness appears as time in the presence of ignorance. When consciousness makes contact with ignorance, avidya, time is born. Time is born. Consciousness is active, ignorance, they say. Active ignorance is, consciousness in active ignorance appears as time. In active ignorance, consciousness appears as time. And the word they used is avidya chit samyogam. Avidya chit samyogam. Chit is consciousness. Avidya is ignorance. They are joining together. They are coming together. Avidya chit samyogam kalaha. Who says Brahma Sutra? Avidya and chit, they are samyogam. They are joining together is kalam. Kalam. By they coming together, time was born. Time was born. That is why in sleep, when ignorance is inactive, you see, in the deep sleep state, the ignorance is inactive or dormant. It's there, but it is dormant. While which ignorance is, all ignorance is dormant in the deep sleep state. And that is including the ignorance of the self. Including the ignorance of the self is not there. It's not there. And therefore, we don't experience time at all. That's the way. See how much you can come out of these three states, Jagrat, Swapnam, Sushupti. In the deep sleep state, because there is, ignorance is dormant, isn't it? You don't have any ignorance there. Even the experience of the self is dormant at that time. What is there? Only happiness. Bliss. Bliss is only what you are experiencing at that time. And that is why they say that there is no time in the deep sleep. This is their logic behind it. When you go into deep sleep state, you are not experiencing time. Isn't it? Like the way you experience time in the waking state. In the waking state, we experience all the time, we are conscious of it. Of the time. In the deep sleep, you are not at all conscious of time. The reason is this. That avidya that is present there, at the deep sleep state, that all ignorance are dormant, including the self-ignorance, we don't experience time at all. Because there is no ignorance, only chit is there. Avidya, chit coming together, avidya, chit, samyogam is called kalam. Kalam is called kalam. So because avidya is not there, only chit is there, therefore time is not there. It's a very logical point, isn't it? That why we are not experiencing time in the deep sleep? Can the science explain that? Why we don't experience? They think that deep sleep itself is not worthwhile studying about. Whereas for us, everything is deep sleep, more important than even the awakened state. Because what happens in the deep sleep is what Vedantam is all talking about, isn't it? So, and when the mind, when we come to the awakened state, mind gets activated, ignorance gets activated, and duality appears in the as time appears. You see, when we come out of the deep sleep state, the mind gets activated, ego gets activated, and the ignorance gets activated, and duality appears, and then the time appears to us. And then what else appears? Space appears. Then we become conscious of our, oh, this is my part of the land, and that's your part. All all identification with the space, isn't it? So, therefore, kalam is also an empirical manifestation of consciousness. And very technical topic, but spoken in a casual way. These things are very highly Vedantam. There's a lot of things spoken about that. What is kalam? And Atma alone is empirical. And its aversion is kalam. That is why Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, if you look, kalosmi loga chagral pravrta, logan samahartu miha pravrta, kridevithuva nabhavishyandi sarve. There is a verse there. Kalosmi loga chagral pravrta. I think it is the 11? Kalosmi loga chagral pravrta, lokan samahartum iha pravrtaha, hrde vidvam bhavishyandi sarve ye avastida pratyanigeshu yodhaha. When Krishna says that, we shouldn't think, Krishna is saying, the Supreme Personality of Godhead said, time I am, the great destroyer of the worlds. I have come here to destroy all people. With the exception of you, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. Krishna is saying there, isn't he? Kalosmi, I am time. I am time. Kshayakrital pravurdhaha. I have come to destroy, I am the great destroyer of the worlds. And lokan samahartum iha pravurdhaha. I have come here to destroy all the people. That this avastha, he says here, that with the exception of you, the Pandavas, all the soldiers here on both sides will be slain. Now, when we understand that verse, we have to look at it this way. Krishna is saying from the platform of Atma, from the platform of Atma or Brahma, or Brahman. Empirically, I am manifesting here as time and space. Here, I am manifesting. So, I have to manifest as time, because only then in the creation constant change will happen. As far as the war is concerned, for Krishna, it's a change. Not a war. It's a change for him. Krishna sees the war as a change. And in order that change to happen, I have to manifest as time, he says. Kalosmi loga kshegral pravurdhaha. Logan samahartu miha pravurdhaha. First thing is, kalosmi loga kshegral pravurdha. In order that the world has to change, I have to come here as time, he says. And when Krishna is saying, I am coming means Atma is coming. In the form of Atma, I am coming as kalam. Atma only comes as kalam. You can't say it purely, oh, Krishna has personally yet come and he has changed everything and gone. That is not how you say it. Vedantam explains that better. Kalosmi loga kshegral pravurdhaha. And only in the way Krishna has come in the form, because Krishna knows that, he's saying to Arjuna, that all these people are already dead and gone. He says, I've changed already. It's changed because I've come here as time. And they will all be gone now.
Before they were physically gone from here, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, they were all dead and gone, he said. They were already dead, he said. Isn't it? In the beginning, Krishna is saying that. They are already dead. So how is he saying that? It is on this principle, kalosmi. In the form of time, they have gone away, already escaped from here. So then, akasha sambhudaha. Akasha sambhudha means that they are only a combination of five material elements after all. And five elements, how the five elements will come, how creation will happen, matter in empirical field has to change. Only then creation will happen, isn't it? So that requires kalam. That requires kalam. So creation, in order that creation to happen, in order that creation to change, in order that creation to get destroyed, kalam is necessary. Kalam is necessary. Therefore, Krishna says, kalaha, I am kalam. In that verse you will see there, Krishna is saying here, time I am the great destroyer of the worlds. Time I am the great destroyer of the worlds. See the subtlety of that word? Kalosmi loka kshayakral pravartha. Time I am the destroyer of the world. I don't come and personally destroy them. My form, in the form of time, it destroys the world. It destroys the... Whereas me, I am eternal. I don't get destroyed. But my presence in the form of time is enough to destroy the world. That's what it is. Time, I am destroyer. I am the great destroyer of the world. Kalosmi loka kshayakral pravartaha. He says. So, Krishna on his own, that Krishna says, Krishna is on his own is beyond time. Time has nothing to do with Krishna. Time has nothing to do with Krishna. Because Krishna is always beyond time. Kala adhita. Kala adhita purusha, he is called. Time cannot touch Krishna. Time cannot touch Krishna. And therefore, since kalam is not, therefore, kalam has come, alma has to come in the form of kalam. Therefore, kalam is not different from alma. Not different from alma. Kalam can move, affect the alma. Therefore, I am the alma, not afflicted. Not affected. Kala can never affect the alma. Kala can never affect the alma. Kala can never affect the alma. Kala can affect the maya. Kala can affect the world. But kala cannot affect the alma. Therefore, alma is not affected by kala. So why should I get angry? That is what he mentioned there, isn't it? He says there, kalastu hedu sugadukha yoschel kim atmanastatra tada alma ga so. And therefore, almana hakim, if you consider kala is the cause of sukham dukham, almana hakim, what is going to happen to alma because of that? Reason is, asa utad alma haha, because alma alone is appearing as time in its empirical manifestations. Alma comes as time. So, it is important to know what is alma, what is time, what is space, kalam, and space, time and time, kalam and space, and alma. All these things are important in knowing this. And they, Krishna is explaining here, kala cannot affect alma. Like he gave the example there, agnirnatabo nahimasya tatsyal. The heat of the fire and the cold of the snow, in a similar way, kalam is the intrinsic nature of Atma. It cannot give you any trouble. And therefore he says here, cold cannot affect snow or ice. Taboham agneha nasyal, himasihi himam shaitya nasyal. Similarly, kalam cannot affect Atma because kalam is not separate from Atma. Kalam is not separate from Atma. Therefore, kasmai krudhyeda kasmai na parasya dundvam. Therefore, parasya dundvam nasti. Paralparahasna sukham dukham, which is dundvam. He says that, like that, isn't it? So, that is how, what Krishna is talking about here. And here, the Bhikshu has looked at everything important here. Is it not? He has looked at everything. Which one? Janam. Janam is only one of them. The world. World is Janam, isn't it? People in the world. He shows to us that is not responsible. Devada, they are not responsible. Alma, not responsible. Kalam, not responsible. Karmam, not responsible. Na Devada, Alma, Graham, not responsible. Graham, Karmam, Kalam. None of them are responsible. And finally he is saying, mind is responsible. If the mind is gone, then problem is gone. And there, how did the rishis do? They took shelter of Krishna. Tamo mugundangri nisheva yeva, he says there, isn't it? That in the 58th verse he says, adhyasidam purvatameer maharshibi aham tarishyami durandabaram tamo mugundangri nisheva yeva mugundangri nisheva yeva. So the solution, he is saying here, completely to surrender to Krishna. That is the conclusion. Ultimately, after all this, he is saying that I will take complete shelter of Krishna from now on. Hold on to Krishna's lotus feet forever. And in the past, how the rishis have gone, I will follow the same route. I will follow the same route. So, and saying this, that Brahmana became very peaceful. Who? Our Avanti Brahmana. And his establishment in the truth, after getting established there, that state is what we are discussing here now. And when he lost all his wealth also, he became completely free, completely independent, isn't it? When he had the wealth, he was dependent on that. He was connected with that wealth. Now he has nothing to say, mine. He's not saying anything anymore as mine. And so sometimes you can see, some people, you can see this, you say, if you ask him, why did you not come yesterday? He'll say, what can I do? I wanted to come. I left home, but there is nobody there at home. There's nobody at home. So I have to stay back at home to look after the house. To look after the house, I have to stay back at home. That was the answer for that. Why did you not come yesterday? You said you will come yesterday. Why did you not come? Oh, I wanted to come, but I just couldn't come because there was nobody at home. I had to stay back at home. So, what can I do? If I leave home, who will look after the house? So, what has happened now? So, is the house looking after you or are you looking after the house? What's happening now? So, who is controlling home? House is controlling you. You're not controlling the house, isn't it? So wherever if you have to go, you need the permission from the house. That stage has happened. So similarly, everything in this world I have taken as mine. Me, my wife, my family, my children, my wealth, my house, my this, my that. And we are stuck in all these things. We are stuck in all these things. And Jiva is finding it difficult to come out of it because of this connection with the world. Isn't it? And that is what he mentioned there as ahankaram and mamata. He's saying this. So, only if you establish the truth properly by proper analysis, like the way Bichu has done, and knowing very well attachment to the body, one's own body, all the dead matter outside in this world has to go. Attachment has to go from that and come completely established in the truth. Satyam and non-dual, advidiyam, that vastu, and that alone is the truth. And that truth, and because that truth is there, that is why all these objects we are feeling as real, real, real. We are experiencing the world as real. Body is real, everything is real, because of the presence of that satyavastu, Atma. Because of Atma's reality alone, we are feeling this reality of other things. And only when we come to this realization that nothing in this world has any impact on me, no influence on me, neither the body nor the world or any of the objects in this world, I am completely Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam. My nature is pure, eternal, consciousness, free from, fully conscious, completely pure, and Nityam Shuddham Buddham Mukta, always liberated. In that state, only then you can escape from here. And this happened to this Avanti Brahmana after this incident, when all this what happened in the beginning. And Krishna said this to Uddhava.
And now what Krishna has to say, let's have a look at that. We've got another 15 minutes. Krishna is saying that the whole message, what Krishna has spoken in Bhiksha Gita, is going to talk about that in two verses. The Brahmana's realization. Shri Bhagavan Vacha Nirvidya Nashtadravino Gadaklama Pravrajyagam Paryadamana Mittham Nirakrido Asaddhi Abhisotharmal Akambidomum Munirahagatham Nirvidya Nashtadravino Gadaklama Pravrajyagam Paryadamana Mittham Nirakrido Asadbhiravi Sotharma Akambidomum Munire Munirahagatham Nashtadravina Nirvidya Gadaklama Pravrajyagam Paryadamanam Asadbi Itham Nirakrudobi Sotharmad Akambidaha Saha Munihi Amum Gatham Aha. First thing, Nashtadravinam. That means all the wealth is gone. That was the first grace, Krishna's grace to him. All the wealth, he's lost it. Everything lost. Therefore, what happened? Vairagyam had come, Nirvidya. Nashtadravinam, therefore Nirvidya. Then, Gadaklama, therefore all distress also gone. When all the wealth is gone, all the distress also is gone. And then, Pravrajyagam Paryadamanamittam. He is wandering in the world. He doesn't have to report to anybody. He has no place to stay. And he has no desires anymore. He doesn't want to achieve anything, acquire anything. All connection with the world is broken. Therefore, he is free to wander around. Pravrajyagam paryadamanamittam. Pravrajagam. Pravrajagam means that. To wandering around in the world without any connection with the world. That is, we say, isn't it? That Vishnupada Paramahamsa Parivrajagam. Parivrajagam means this, Pravrajam. Pravrajam means that no connection with anything anymore. That we have, because there is no possessing anything, no ahankaram inside to possess anything, no dvandvam inside, everything released from everything. That is what he is saying. Nirvidya, how did that happen? Nashtadravinaha, because he lost everything. So he became Nirvidya. Gadaklamaha, Krishna saying he had no more distress after that. Because when there is sufficient vairagyam inside, there is no distress either. Then Pravrajyagam Paryadamanamittam, then he is wandering in this world. Nirakrado Asaddhi Abhi Sotharmal Akambidomam Munirahagatham. That because when he is wandering around Nirakradam, he was insulted by the wicked people. They insulted him, offended him, cursed him, and criticized him. Everything they did to him, isn't it? Asadbi abhi, but in spite of that, sudharmalakam bidomam, he was fixed on the truth. He didn't move from that. So nobody could say anything to him. See, they tried to disturb his mind, isn't it? By behaving badly to him. Did everything, wretched things to him. Destroyed his, even the little food what he had to eat. Even that they have put the dust into it, passed urine into it. All sorts of things they tried to disturb him, his mind. And they wanted him to react to it. He didn't. Krishna is saying here, when all these things happened, he was still established in the truth, Atma. He didn't get disturbed or shaken by anything. And Krishna is congratulating him for his success. Nirakurdo asad bhi api. All these asad things happen, but sotharmalakam vidomam. Akampana means no vibration inside. That mind was so firm and so established in the truth. And therefore he was able to sing that song. Muniraha gatham, he says. He sang that song. That, what was the song? He says here, in a nutshell, the whole Bhiksha Gita, in a nutshell. Sukha dukha prado nanya purushasya alpa vibhramaha mitram udasi naribhava samsara tamasakradaha. That is the message.
സുഖദുഃഖപ്രദോ നാന്യ പുരുഷസ്യ അല്പവിഭ്രമാഃ മിത്രം ഉദാസീന രിപവ സംസാരതമസകൃതാഃ. മിത്രം ഉദാസീനം രിപു, റിമെമ്പർ ദ ത്രീ കോളംസ് വി ടോക്ട് അബൌട്ട്, ഫ്രണ്ട്, എനിമി ആൻഡ് ദി ന്യൂട്രൽ വൺസ്. തമസകൃതാഃ, ദാറ്റ് ഈസ് ഓൾ ഇഗ്നോറൻസ്, അജ്ഞാനം ഇറ്റ് ഈസ്. തമസകൃതാഃ ആൻഡ് സുഖദുഃഖപ്രദാഃ സംസാരഃ പുരുഷസ്യ ആത്മവിഭ്രവ നാന്യഃ. സോ ഈസ് സെയിങ് ഹിയർ ദാറ്റ് മിത്രം ഉദാസീനൻ ആൻഡ് രിപു, ദാറ്റ് മീൻസ് ദീസ് ത്രീ, ഫ്രണ്ട്, എനിമി ആൻഡ് ദി ന്യൂട്രൽ വൺസ്. This is all ajnanam. This is all avidya. Nobody is your friend. Nobody is your enemy. Neutral one is not a problem because he doesn't give you any trouble. These two are the main ones. So there is nobody our friend, nobody our enemy. And and this material existence which creates this samsaram or sukham dukham, happiness and distress, that is also not real. All of it is nothing but a product of the mind. That's what he is saying here. Sukha dukha prado nanya purushasya alpa vibhramah mitram udasina ribhava samsaram tamasakrudah. It's all a product of the mind. So that is what Krishna had to say to the world. He says, Krishna is saying to the world, learn this from that bhikshu. Learn this point from the bhikshu. That is Krishna's instruction. Then Krishna concludes this with one word saying, Tasmad, therefore, sarvalpana tadha nigrahana manodhiyaha mayyaveshidaya yukta edhavan yoga sangraha. Tasmad sarvalpana tadha nigrahana manodhiyaha mayyaveshidaya yukta edhavan yoga sangraha. He says, hey tadha, my dear son, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, my dear son, he says, തസ്മാത് മൈ ആവേശിത ധിയ യുക്ത സർവാത്മന മനോനിഗ്രഹാണ ഉദ്ധവ. ദെയർഫോർ ഓൾവേസ് ബി എസ്റ്റാബ്ലിഷ്ഡ് ഇൻ ദ ട്രൂത്ത് ഇൻ ആത്മ. ഫിക്സ് യുവർ മൈൻഡ് ഇൻ മീ. വെൻ കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് ഇറ്റ് മീൻസ് ഇറ്റ് ഫിക്സ്ഡ് ഇൻ ആത്മ. ദാറ്റ്സ് വാട്ട് ഈസ് സേയിങ്. ഫിക്സ് ഓൾവേസ് ബി സിറ്റുവേറ്റഡ് ഇൻ ദ പ്ലാറ്റ്ഫോം ഓഫ് ദ സോൾ. നെവർ കം ടു ദ പ്ലാറ്റ്ഫോം ഓഫ് ദ മൈൻഡ് ആൻഡ് സ്റ്റേ ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ്. ഈ സേയ്സ് ഏതാവാൻ ഏവ യോഗ സംഗ്രഹ ഭവതി. This is all the yoga system has to tell. All the yoga system is only saying this one thing. Krishna is saying there. So, then, with that, Krishna finishes here. Krishna finishes here. And finally, Sukadeva Goswami, Sukha Brahmarshi, he is saying, this Bhikshu Gita, if you study this, and if you utilize it, not studying is not good enough. You have to take it on board in life, then what is the benefit? Krishna, that is saying, Ya edam bhikshunam gidam brahmanishtam samahidaham dharayan shravayan shrunvan dvandvair naivabhibhuyate. Ya edam bhikshunam gidam brahmanishtam samahidaham dharayan shravayan shrunvan dvandvair naivabhibhuyate. He is saying here, this bhikshu gita, if you here, Shravayan means to, Shrunvan means to hear. Dharayan, Shravayan, Shrunvan. If you hear it, or if you speak to others, Shravayan, Shrunvan. If you hear it, and if somebody speaks to you, that person also, and Dharayan. Dharayan means you reflect on it well. If you do all that, Dvandvair naivabhibhuyate. You will get released from the dualities of life. This is Sukha Brahmarshi's special blessings to those who are hearing this, speaking this, and who is reflecting on this. It's a special, in so many places, Sukha Brahmarshi blesses people about the devotees who are taking Srimad Bhagavatam. So it's a special mercy sometimes he gives to devotees. Those who take Bhikshu Gita, who hears that seriously, who speaks about that seriously, and who reflects on that seriously, and takes it on board, absorbs it seriously, means who accepts it properly, completely. That person, Krishna is saying that, Dundvair naiva vibhuyade. Dundvam cannot touch him.
Dvandva means what? You know what I've said many times before. Dvandva means this duality of life. Happiness, distress, heat and cold, good and bad, right and wrong. Continuously confused with that. There is no such thing. Krishna has already said that, isn't it? Dvandvam is our problem. Guna dosha drishir dosham, he says. Seeing good and bad. What is good here? He told many times. Later on he will say this again in the 28th chapter. Kim badram kim abadram va, he says. Isn't it? Dvaitasya vastuna kiyal. Dvaitam it is everywhere. Wherever you look, it is dvaitam. Nothing is real here. In other words, this Bhikshugita will help to go inwards. Inward. That's the point. To go inward, Bhikshugita can help. Because this whole topic, what we discussed in Bhagavad Gita, in this Bhikshugita, is a very internal thing. Not from the external world. Is it not? Completely in relationship with the subtle aspects of spiritual life. All of them. The only thing Krishna spoke about here is Nayam Janome Sukadukha Hedu. To show to us that Janam, world is not responsible for anything what we are having the problem. All our problem is, solution is inside, not outside. To get that firmly established, that is why this particular benediction has been spoken in that way. You can see, Dundvair Naivabhi Bhuyade. Duality is what is causing all the problem. Because of duality we suffer, isn't it? Dundvam, heat and cold, happiness and distress. This is all Dundvam. Krishna is saying, one who has absorbed this Bhikshugita properly, taken on board, reflected on it very well, and utilized it in life, that person will never be touched by the dualities of life. Duality cannot touch him anymore. And he will go transcend the dualities of life. And he'll remain in the establishing the truth. So, it is 11:30 now. We'll stop. We'll continue tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.